Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. Yeah, Friday. And we have all of our regular Friday features coming up. That would be You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through a listener at 312-981-7200 casts the third vote. So that's You Big Dummy. We got Straight Out of Context. That's where you listen 24/7 to this here radio station. Whenever anybody at any time says something, you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes with Nick D's show Spies. That's when you listen here to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You're a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we've got Vic's Picks. Vic is not here to do the news this morning, but he is going to call in at 3:30 to start our regular features with Vic's Picks. Vic had virtually no musical knowledge before a couple of few months ago and decided he wanted to change that. So he decided, you know what, I am going to listen to every single album on the Rolling Stone Top 100 Albums of All Time list. And that's what he's doing. And we check in with him every Friday morning at 3:30 and talk about a couple of albums that he is currently listening to and learning about. And we get his impression of what's going on, and this journey that he's taking in the world of musical knowledge continues. So we'll do Vic's Picks at 3:30. He will be here live, but he'll be calling in. And then, of course, we have Fly Jams Friday. And that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN, and that's when Lussish Hussish will be here, who will play all the fly jams for you. If you got a request, if anything R&B, soul-related, funky-related, fly-related, it's 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Also, if you want to jump in here with a call or a comment or a text or a question, 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show, and stay connected with us on our Facebook page, which is interactive and updated all the time. You should like us. You should follow us right now. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast. Lots of people do. Lots and lots of people do. And we thank you for that. It's easy. It's free. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Go find Nick DiGilio's show. Subscribe. It's free. Every single second of every single show is formed into a podcast, and you can listen to it. It'll be delivered to your device, and you can listen to it at your leisure, bro. So that's what's coming up. And also, in just a few minutes, our good friend Rick Geezer is going to join us. Rick, as you know, works here at the station. He also has a thing he calls sports songs. He's been doing this for many, 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 many years. And that is a collection of songs that are sung by athletes or people who are in the sports world. And since the NFL season officially kicked off last night right here in Chicago, very disappointingly, I must say, we are going to shrug that off and celebrate the fact that football has begun, and so we have a special football edition of sports songs. So if you know of any sports songs, if you got questions or any of that kind of stuff, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you got a song that you want to see if Rick has, or you want to maybe turn him on to a song, he's always looking for more material. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So the football edition of sports songs will begin in just a couple of minutes. Let's say hello to my great producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Disappointed about last night?
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to look on the bright side. The Cubs won.
That is good. I did get to see that.
Yeah, which was very good. You know, I watched the Cubs. I'm not a big football guy. I know it was a very exciting night for many people, but I'm just not, you know, so I'm not angry at all. I know a lot of people are very angry right now. I can't feign anger.
I know three of them.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we were listening to the show earlier with Hampton, Obi, and Kaz and Carm. And I got to say, I laughed my ass off. I thought it was some of the comments that those guys make. When the Bears lose, it sucks. But it's great radio here on WGN. When the Bears win, it's also great. But it's especially awesome when you get Hamp, Cause, and OB going nuts. And that's exactly what happened last night. So we got some of those highlights, which we're going to play back. Right, Tom? We're going to play those back a little bit later?
Yeah, I got a few choice cuts of the Hamp, OB, and Kaz show that they're just the best.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not listening to that show pre and post every Bear game right here on WGN, whether the Bears win or lose, it's great. It's the best coverage you're going to get and the best knowledge that you're going to get from these guys who have been in the football game for a long time. But when they lose, especially in the fashion when they lost last night, it's just amazing. It's amazing. So we're going to play some of that back. I watched the Cubs, then I watched Big Brother, then I watched the Cubs, then I saw the end of the Bear game. I was at my folks' house, so there were two TVs on, one in the kitchen, which you can see from the couch, which had the Bears game going, so I could kind of look over and watch that. But the Cubs won. They won 10-5.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hayward breaking a streak.
Schwarber, man. Mm-hmm. Hayward broke his streak. Zobrist in the leadoff position on base five times last night. Went 3-for-3, two walks.
They were cooking with gas.
And Schwarber hit another grand slam. I don't know what he's eating. I don't know what Schwarber's eating, but feed him more of it.
Getting his Wheaties.
Yeah. But, so anyway, the Cubs won, which is good, but the Bears had a humiliating loss right here in Chicago against Green Bay. But it is football season, and we're going to celebrate all that with Rick Geezer and sports songs. Tom, you're not going to be able to see it this weekend, right? I know you're going out of town.
Yeah, going to be
for family business.
Yeah, family business. But I'm going to try to catch it. If I'll be coming back Sunday, so if I can find 3 hours,
it's 3 hours. It's a long
to
haul,
watch
man.
Watch a clown torture children and adults. Then yeah. I'll do my best.
I'm very excited. I know it's not getting the best reviews, but I'm excited because I really like the first one. And I love Bill Hader, and I love James McAvoy, and I love Jessica Chastain. So, I mean, those are seriously three of my favorite people in movies today. So I hope it's good. And we'll review that and more and do the box office also on Monday morning after the weekend. So, like I said, Vic is off. Vic took here's the reason Vic took the night off. Vic took the night off because of the Bears game. He is a massive, massive Bears fan, a massive football fan. He was so excited about it. He lives in a high rise overlooking Grant Park, so he was going to make a whole day of it. He was going to walk down to Grant Park, be a part of the big NFL kickoff party in Grant Park, and then watch the game with Jeannie, his partner, whom he lives with. She's from Wisconsin. She's a Green Bay fan, so he must not be in a good way. So when he calls in later on at 3:30 to do Vic's picks, I'm going to see if he's happy about taking the night off for that game. But anyway, he will be here for Vic's picks. But in his place in the newsroom, in his stead, is someone who I've not seen in a few years. And that's who I've never seen in the newsroom, except he's in the newsroom when he was reporting on sports, is Jordan Bernfield. Jordan Bernfield is here. Hey, man.
Hey, Nick.
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good. It's so good to see you.
It's great to see you. And when they told me I was going to fill in tonight, I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to get to see Nick.
That's right.
We could talk Cubs. And
we could talk Dave Matthews. Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
I mean, it's your show. I would assume you can choose
what
you want
to talk about. We have a lot of regular segments on Friday. You're here on the Friday morning show where it's very segmented on Friday. It's not as loose and crazy as the rest of the week. But it's so glad. I'm so glad to see you, man. And you're doing a great job in the newsroom, buddy.
Thank you. I mean, this is it's kind of a out of body experience tonight, but it's been fun.
Yeah. Where you been?
So after I left here, I was down the dial for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I've also been doing television, doing play-by-play for ESPN and Big Ten Network and a couple of the local schools here. So I've been doing a lot of that and figured I might be able to come in and...
squeeze in some news?
Yeah.
In between the other gigs?
Right.
Well, so, that's great. It's really, seriously great to see you, man.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Yeah. Really, really nice.
Jordan Bernfield, it's a treat to have him in the newsroom this morning. Very, very cool. And Tom, have you ever met Jordan?
I have not, but I'm not going to lie, Jordan. Your voice is incredibly familiar. Can you tell me what local schools you do the play-by-play for?
Loyola, USC.
There it is.
Yeah.
I'm a Loyola grad.
Oh, all right, great. Yeah,
I was like, I know this voice. I've heard it a million times, and it's because you say Ramblers all the time.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
there you go.
Well, you know, that I appreciate you for that, because I have been doing those games for a long time, and until they were a Final Four team, it was kind of like, you know, Loyola didn't get a whole lot of pub, but now it feels like a big deal.
Last year was crazy, man.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. Well, Jordan, Tom, Jordan.
Very. I can't wait to tell my buddies that I'm working with the guy who does the play-by-play.
Yeah.
They're going to go nuts.
That's very cool. Well, that's the crew this morning, and we're here till 5 a.m. Like I said, all the regular features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, Vic's Picks happening. We will play back some of the highlights from Hampton, OB, and Cause going completely nuts last night immediately after the Bears lost. It's great stuff. We'll play that back as well. It's going to be a fun show. Again, our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk or text. If you want to jump in, we're doing sports songs after this. And follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, Facebook.com/Nick D Show as well for this Friday morning. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Rick Geezer is here for the football edition. We've heard that song once or twice before, and that's a fun way to kick off another sports song segment. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio, Friday morning here on 720 WGN live in the WGN Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. on this Friday morning. The NFL season has kicked off in a big way with a huge party that the NFL threw right here in Chicago at Grant Park, right down the street from where we are. And then the big game between the biggest rivals in the history of the NFL, the Bears and the Packers at Soldier Field. Didn't turn out good, but it was a big night, and the NFL has kicked off, and football season is here. And so every time football season or any sports season kicks off, we love to have Rick Geezer in. Rick, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now you produced Hamp OB and Cause.
I just finished
cleaning up.
Yes, I had to, you know, make sure 9/11 was back. You know, they could take the regular calls.
Yes. It was a very disappointing game for Bears fans, and I think a lot of it has to do with, well, one, the way in which they lost. It was just a terrible loss.
It was a terrible. I think OB mentioned that the biggest indictment is that this game looked like when I played.
This
is the way we played.
Yeah. It was. I didn't see the whole game. I saw bits and pieces of it. I saw highlights, and I did see, you know, pretty much the last quarter of the game, where at one point they were 3-40. I was watching two TVs at once, and I was looking over at the TV and I saw the graphic that said that they were 3-40, and I'm like, well, somebody made a mistake. Honest to God, yeah, I thought somebody made a mistake in the graphic department on TV. I was like, wow, that's a pretty big mistake for NBC to make. And then it was real.
Yeah.
But one of the other things about why this game was so devastating for everybody was the hype was insane.
Well, I think everyone's expectations were really up. I mean, there were things to criticize last season, but they were 12-4.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost it, you know, at the end of the season in a heartbreaking game. But there was still some positives. The defense was so, you know, and the defense, they played all right.
What, last night?
Last night.
Yes, they did.
They played all right. They weren't playing to the standards of last year.
Right.
But
yeah.
But then there were so many mistakes on the offense.
Yeah.
Timing mistakes. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, you know, just, you know, looking at one receiver, forgetting there are other receivers.
Yeah.
On the, you know, Tariq Cohen not running the ball. I mean, so many things.
My friends on Facebook, I have a lot of Bear fan friends, many, many, many diehard Bear fan friends on my Facebook page. And they were posting, obviously,
of course,
you know, live during the game. And that was keeping me updated on what was happening, too, as I was watching all kinds of media because I had to watch my Cubs and I had to watch my big brother. Had to watch Big Brother episode.
Had to. Did you watch Bachelor in Paradise?
I do not watch that.
Okay, okay.
But so tonight, last night on Big Brother, double elimination. It only happens once a season. Oh. It's always the best episode of the season, and it did not disappoint.
All right.
So I had two. I was over at my folks' house. They got two TVs with an eyelid distance, so we had like all kinds of stuff happening. And I had my phone. I was looking at Facebook to see what my friends were saying. At one point, somebody said, like right at the end of the game, or very near the end of the game, said, "This is the worst performance by a Bears quarterback I've ever seen. Avellini would have won this game." And that was like, whoa.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah. So anyway, well, look, let's move on from that loss. Denver a week from Sunday.
Denver, Vic Fangio, the Bears' former defensive coordinator.
That should be a fun
so
game.
He's like sitting there going,
yeah.
I know how to scheme against this.
We got 9 days to shrug this off and get back, you know, and they're on the road in Denver. Two road games, then they're back home.
Yeah.
Okay. And you will have pre and post with,
with
the guys.
Yeah, we're not on this Sunday.
A week from Sunday, we'll be on.
Hope you get everyone listens and give us a call. And there's a lot of passion.
Well, as I said before, you know, Tom and I just love listening to that show. And I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I love the show more when they lose, when the Bears lose. And I'm just saying that because they're like last night they were on fire. It was such hilarious and great radio, and how impassioned those guys are is so much fun to listen to.
Yeah, and we knew right away. We knew whenever they lose, the phone calls are going to go nuts. I mean, we had full lines, and we weren't even on the air yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the full. And the funny thing, OB Hamp was at the game because they honored the 85 guys. Before the game. Mm-hmm. So he was at the stadium for the first half and then came in at halftime. So OB and I are sitting watching the game, and OB looked at me. He goes, "You know, I'm on Rokan every week." I said, "Yes, I do."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "I sit at the end of my bed with my phone on and I tell myself, I'm not going to get mad. And before the end of the conversation, I'm screaming, I'm standing."
Well, we've got fantastic highlights from last night's show, and we're going to play it back after three when
we
let you go.
I'll listen driving
please
home.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. But it's great stuff, and it's great stuff when they win. I don't want to say it's only good when they lose, but they're great because they're insightful and they're passionate and they know what they're talking about. It's great radio, win or lose, but it was off the it was off the charts last night.
Crazy stuff.
Okay.
Crazy stuff.
Rick produces that.
Let's start off with something. Let's go back to the glory days.
Well, first of all,
yes.
Before we start,
sure.
Tell everybody, I just want to make sure everybody knows how they can get to Sports Songs and what Sports Songs In is.
Well, you can go to, there's a website, sportsongs.com. You can go to Facebook. There's a page called sportsongs.com.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it easy.
And it's a collection of.
All the different songs that I have collected for, you know, nearly 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You'll ask, so I'll tell. Dr. Demento helped get me started back in the day. I love the doctor, wind up my radio, Dimensions and Dementites, and he kind of got me going on it when I did some work for him, and...
It's a very specific collection. It's a collection of athletes, anybody who has anything to do with sports.
Yeah, so there's players and coaches. There's some refs. There's some commissioners.
Yeah.
You know, everybody seems to think they're a singer at some point or another.
All right, well, let's kick off the NFL 2019-20 season. Sports Songs Edition. Where do you want to go?
Why don't we go to track 130? And this was, you started off with the Super Bowl Shuffle 1 week after the Chicago Bears recorded or won the Super Bowl. Walter Payton, we've just unveiled his wonderful statue.
And by the way, can I just say that that special on WGN was unbelievable.
Very good.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he went into the recording studio with William the Refrigerator Perry, and they put together this heartwarming song called Together. So this was recorded 1 week after winning the Super Bowl.
So it's Sweetness and Fridge. Here we go.
34-72,
teamwork is the theme of our song.
Divided we're weak,
together we're strong.
United as one,
we could only be greater.
This is Sweetness 34,
and the refrigerator.
So be a part of our team.
Watch everyone win.
Keeping prejudice out,
and friendship in.
Bringing pride to the nation,
and joy to the world.
Find yourself, join with others like a string of pearls. Cause we're making things happen,
only for the good.
Uniting people worldwide,
in all neighborhoods.
Making all feel better,
raising self-esteem.
And anyone can make it,
just believe in your dreams.
Put forth your best effort, give it all you got. Hang on to your goals, cause they mean a lot.
Time is so important, so precious to waste.
If you think I'm joking, just look at my face.
Together as a team, we have a dream. Everyone must stand together. If we hold hands in this great land, we can make life a lot better.
Classic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. Great way to kick off the show.
Yeah, it
Rick,
was.
Hang on, okay?
All right.
Rick Geezer is with us from Sports Songs. You want to jump in with a comment or a question or a suggestion? 312-981-7200. The football edition of Sports Songs will continue after the news, which is right after this. It is Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummies, Vic's Picks, and Fly Jam Friday. And we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. We are having our annual NFL kickoff version of Sports Songs with Rick Geezer. Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And that was Dennis Green, former NFL coach.
Right. We are who they thought we were.
We are. And that is from the Sunset Band.
Yeah.
He was on drums. And Doc Severinsen from The Tonight Show was on the horn.
Always impressed by that.
Yeah.
That he got Doc Severinsen to play on his CD.
I guess the check cashed.
Exactly.
Or the check cleared, you know?
Exactly right. All right, cool. So we're doing a football-themed sports songs. We love to do this, and some of these sports songs are actually legitimately good. Well, we just heard Doc Severinsen playing, and that's legitimately good.
Yeah.
But some of them are terrible, and some of them are fun. But that's part of the fun of sports songs. So where are we going
to
go next?
Why don't we go to 138? And it's one of our favorites, Terry Bradshaw. He's been singing for years, and we played some around the Super Bowl because he was on The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
But in the 70s, he was putting out legitimate country records, and he was making the charts, not high on the charts, but, you know, he was making the top 40 in country music.
Yeah.
And
by the way, The Masked Singer comes back in 2 weeks, and I could not be more excited.
I know.
Tom, do you watch The Masked Singer?
No, because I'm not really one for singing competitions, and I'm not going to lie. I thought this was kind of a dumb show.
Oh, it's the most ridiculous show that's ever been on TV.
But you love it.
I adore. Well, what are they dressed as? They're dressed as like mascots. So it's like
that's
mascots
true.
Coming out and singing.
The costuming,
I love the show.
The costuming and the stagecraft are amazing.
It is, Tom, you got to watch it. I know that you can kind of get sucked in. Give it a shot.
I will do it for you.
Yeah.
I'll do it for Rick.
Yeah.
But I'm going with trepidation.
Yeah. It is. No, and I'm not going to say it is one of the stupidest shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's not The Wire.
And I've watched. No, my God. But I've watched every episode and I loved every episode. But I knew it was Terry Bradshaw. Before he took the mask off, I was like, because they drop hints.
Yeah.
They drop hints at you to see if you can guess who the mask
singer
is.
And I knew it was Rumor Willis. I don't know why I knew it was her.
I'm trying to think of the who I got right. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're talking Terry Bradshaw, who had a legitimate music career.
And in 1976, he had a hit with the Hank Williams classic called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. So why don't we listen to it?
Let's do it. Here's Terry Bradshaw.
He that lonesome
lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to cry. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never seen the night so long. When time goes crawling by, the moon just went behind and cry.
I've always been a fan of Terry Bradshaw, no matter what he did, whether it was his music, which I think is sometimes really great and fun, whether when he played football. I think he's fantastic, a fantastic broadcaster and hilarious, and I think I loved him in movies too.
He's so good. I mean, I still talk about it, you know, how I want my own naked room from the movie. yeah.
So, there we go. So there's some Terry Bradshaw for you. You can't do a football-themed sports song without playing
some Terry Bradshaw.
You gotta.
Because he's done it in many different genres.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, what's up?
Why don't we go to 150? Right. And this is one of my favorite players when I was a kid. Deacon Jones, the king of the sack, the king of the head slap, but he was also the king of music there for a while. He teamed up with some of his Rams friends, and they the Fearsome Foursome, and they put out some records, and he also put out solo stuff. And of course, who can forget him telling Peter Brady that he was part of the Glee Club in the classic Brady Bunch episode. So just for that.
Yeah.
But in 1969, he put out this great record called Play the Game.
All right. This is Deacon Jones. I love this one, man. This is one
It's
one of my favorites that we play whenever we talk football. That's like a really really fun, great song. All right, where are we going next?
Why don't we go to track 189? Again, another fun song, more recent, came out in 2010, but we can argue if it's good or not. But it's a great video. It's a fun song. It's by LaDainian Tomlinson. He was a former MVP of the league, great running back for the San Diego Chargers, and he put out the LT Slide Electric Glide. And if you want to check out the video, it's all over the internet. Go to YouTube and all that and check the video out. But this song is special.
This is very special. Just this is one of my favorites. Here we go.
What it do? My name's LT. I got a new dance for y'all. It's real easy to do. All you gotta do is glide with it. Oh, here we go. Come on. Ready to play the game. Every Sunday, yo, it's all the same. I do my dance. I get my stance. I read the defense. I read the defense. I read the defense. I read the defense. Now sidestep, 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 sidestep. Now catch that pass.
Catch that pass.
Catch that pass.
Catching that pass.
Now throw the ball.
Throw that thing.
Now celebrate.
Hey, mama.
Wave to your mom.
Wave to your mom. to your mom.
She's in the stands.
Look at your wife.
See your uncle.
Look at that wife.
Do your thing.
Say hi to your wife.
Say hi to your mom. She's in the stands. Say hi to your wife. Look at your wife. Did he ever record anything else?
Not that I've been able to find, because then I've been looking.
What's the video like? I've not seen
it. It's shot like it would have been if he recorded it in the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, early. You know, so poor technology. Yeah. A lot of different angles and smoke and.
Oh man, that is funny. Know.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got next?
Okay, why don't we go to track 186? This is again one of my favorites, Ed Too Tall Jones. He was just a standout for the Dallas Cowboys throughout the 70s. He gave up his career for a while to be a boxer because he was giant and had such a reach. That didn't really work out. He went back to football. And in 1981, he put out a song, you know, it's a fly jam. Isn't this a fly
jam? It's Fly Jams Friday.
This is pretty fly. It's Funkin' on the Radio.
Funkin' on the Radio with Too Tall Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Are you ready to go? Then set your dial to station WFUNK on your radio. Now, we're the band with the master plan. And we're gonna fuck you like no other can. And I don't care if you're young or old. I'll fuck with grind into your soul. Now, old Mason Carter is my main man dirt. He will play just to see your body work. And on guitar, we have the funky PT. He will groove you all so beautifully. It doesn't matter whether you're high or low, because we're funking on your radio. So go ahead and boogie and shake your rope while we change station on this one.
Yeah. This is 1981, you said?
This is 1981.
Yeah, it sounds like 1981. Yeah,
exactly.
You got the pew, pew. That's a, you know.
You got it?
Yeah.
It's all there. I think I could even see someone roller boogie into that.
No question about it. It's got that weird crossover time period between like 78 and 82.
Exactly.
Where it was just, what happened? Was disco still here? Is it gone? What's going on with keyboards? What a pew, pew. Right. What the hell's happening?
If they did a video, someone's wearing a keytar, probably.
Yes, I would agree with that. All right, what else? Where are we going now?
Oh, okay, let's go. 315. We played this last year, and I'm playing this now because I'd like to play, as the show goes on, a couple of other tracks from this guy. He's a former Chicago Bear, Anthony Spice Adams. He played for the Bears from 2007 to 2011, 9-year defensive tackle. And I don't know if you watch, I know you're a cooking show. I don't know if you're a fan of baking shows.
Yeah.
But he was a host for season 3 and 4 on the Great American Baking Show with him. And I think the woman from the Spice Girls was on with him.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Spice, Emily Button. And this is a song that's really, really outstanding. It's his tribute to the Chick-fil-A restaurant French fries. And this is from 2018.
Okay, this is a tribute to Chick-fil-A French fries by Anthony Spice Adams.
Went to Chick-fil-A and ordered fries.
Yeah.
You already know what kind of size.
Let me get that large, though.
It will be my pleasure. They look me in the eye. When I bite into it, I'm alive. Fresh from the fire, I don't wanna waste no time. Burn the roof of my mouth, it will not be worth it tonight. When I go to sleep, I dream about them continuously. There. Fries. I can look away when fries just make my day. We're back again, ordered a number 5. Polynesian sauce, Chick-fil-A, and a buttermilk ranch.
Hey,
smelled in the bag and I
I think it's not, I think he should have sang it in a different register. That's
And as we go along today, I'll play a couple other things from him, and you'll find out there's a theme to his music. Uh-huh. So he does everything has to do with food and or grilling.
Either food or grilling.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I like that theme.
Did you guys recognize the song that he was like covering?
Well, that's the thing. They're all parodies, they say, of different songs.
Yeah. It was like a pretty big hit back in 2017 when he did that. That was just ridiculous. I think it's Mine by Bazzy.
And that was song itself, the Fry's song, was 2018, so that would make sense. So.
Yeah.
All right. Rick, hang on.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, more sports songs, football edition in honor of the NFL being kicked off last night right here in Chicago. And we've got more sports songs coming up. And if you want to jump in with talk or text or question, or if you got a song that maybe you think Rick would enjoy, he's always looking. Always looking for new stuff. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. I'm Nick DiGilio. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. It is Friday morning, and if you're a regular listener, you know we have all of our fun regular features, beginning with You Big Dummy, where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. We've got Straight Out of Context. That's where you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty, you jot down the date, the time, who said it, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We got Nick D Show Spies. Similar to Straight Out of Context, you got to listen 24/7 to the station. Whenever anybody mentions me in any capacity, we want to know about it. And jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we've got... we've got Fly Jams Friday, and we got Vic's Picks. That's when we join Vic Vaughn, who's off out of the newsroom this morning, but he is going to call in live at 3:30 to tell us about the latest albums that he's been listening to as he journeys through the 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And so that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And Rick Geezer is with us.
Yay!
NBC, or NBC, NFL, well, it was on NBC.
It was.
NFL season is officially kicked off right here in Chicago last night. Football season is here, so we brought Rick in. We're doing a special football edition of sports songs. What did we hear coming back there?
We heard Rocket Ishmael, sure. The former Notre Dame star. He put out an album. That song was called Bounce. And that was the instrumental track. There were, you know, a number of other songs where he did a little rapping, a little singing.
There you go.
A little crooning.
All right. We are back here. Let's get back into it. And it is football season. And what do we got next, Rick?
Well, we started off the show with the Super Bowl shuffle today.
Yeah.
Why don't we go back to the heyday and play another shuffle that people may have forgotten about, but Nick D fans have not.
Yeah.
It is Mike Ditka putting out his song called The Grabowski Shuffle.
Right.
It's track 129, and he put this out in 1987. And, of course, you know, he talked about the team being Grabowski, so that's what this is all about. The song was put together by the same team that put together the Super Bowl Shuffle. And, they put out the song, they put out a video, and it just didn't catch fire like the Super Bowl Shuffle did.
Right.
But this song is one of the greats. If you haven't heard it, you're gonna want to hear it all the time.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Mike Ditka with the Grabowski Shuffle.
Special team, we're working hard, more than a dream. Gang, I want is tried and true. What they they say is what they do. But sometimes rough, but never phony. Don't eat steaks, that's just baloney. Now with your win, go and talk. When it comes to fun, can't get enough. Like Papa Harris, would have loved him. You can call him names, but never shove him. This group is always in the action. Winning is their satisfaction. When they get going, folks will cheer. Don't call them Smiths, they'll toss their beer. A gang like this, you'll never muffle. Meet the Grabowskis and do the shuffle.
We're Grabowskis, wild and free. What you get is what you see. We like to bubble, we like to shuffle. We may wrinkle, but we don't bubble. We like to work, we love to play. We do them both about the same way. Come on your feet, it's time to hustle. Let's all do the Grabowskis shuffle.
Why this didn't catch on as much as the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Oh, it's really great. And the video is excellent.
It's and also the you know, you can tell it's from the same people that did the Super Bowl Shuffle.
It is.
And when you look at, because you have the VHS copy.
I do.
And I've seen it several times. You've brought it to the studio several times. And the package looks exactly like the Super Bowl Shuffle. Same font, same picture.
Exactly, exactly. And they also, that same production team, we've played the songs through the years, but in 1986, after the Bears recorded Super Bowl, the Rams, they did a production for the Rams called Let's Ram It.
Oh, yeah. And we've played that. Yep.
And then they did it for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it was called the Baseball Boogie Bunch. We've played that too.
Wow. Well, was that their deal? Would they just, the production team would loan themselves out to sports teams?
Knowing a few of the people who were involved, they did not loan themselves. They're very strong on protecting their copyright.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Very cool. All right. What do we got next?
Well, why don't we go to 265? Right. We heard Terry Bradshaw earlier, but when I was getting ready to come into the studio, this song caught your producer Tom's attention. It's by Terry Bradshaw and Glenn Campbell, called Never Know Just How Good You've Got It. And it's from 1996. And the NFL Players Association in 95 and 96, they put out CDs called NFL Country, where they would team a player with a country performer. And then they would also put out CDs called NFL Jams, where they played a player with a hip-hop or an R&B artist.
Right.
So this is from NFL Country in 1996.
Okay, and it's Bradshaw and Glenn Campbell.
Two legends.
Here we go.
Hey, once I was a honky-tonkin' talk of the town, riding high in my bad Chevrolet. Had seven pretty women, Lord, hanging on me. A different one for every day. But look at me now, all my women's left town, and a buck is getting hard to come by. Yes, I must confess, my life's a big mess. I'm so low I could lay down and die. Well, you never know just how good you got it till you ain't got it no more. Never know just how high you're flying till you fall face down on the floor. Now all I can do is just moan the blues and dream about what I had before. You never know just how good you got it till you ain't got it no more.
See, I really like this.
Yeah, that's a good country.
That's awesome. I really, really like
this. Because it's cousin Glenn.
Yeah, that's really, seriously, I love that.
It's not Wichita lineman, but it's good in a different way.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's fantastic. All right, Terry Bradshaw, Glenn Campbell. Cool. The football edition of Sports Songs is happening. Rick Geezer is my guest. Okay, well, where are we going next?
Let's go to 325. This is a song we haven't played before, but I'm playing this because the artist, Marvin Jones Jr., a wide receiver for the Lions, performed this on American Idol, trying to get onto American Idol in 2017. And the other reason is he's singing one of your favorite songs.
Oh, okay. So this is Marvin Jones Jr.,
Lions wide receiver. And is this from American Idol? This is his audition.
Yes, he's auditioning for Katy Perry and Luke Bryan and
Lionel Richie.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is one of my favorite songs.
This is one of your favorite songs.
Here we go.
I'll close my eyes and I won't see the love you don't feel when you're holding me. Morning will come and I'll do what's right. Just give me till then to give up this fight. And I will give up this fight, yeah. Cause I can't make you love me if you don't. And you can't make your heart feel something it won't. Here in the dark, for these final hours, I would lay down my heart, and I'll feel the power if you won't. Oh, I can't make you love me.
That is truly one of my favorite songs ever.
I know it
in
is.
In the history of music.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he did not make it.
He did not make it. But
it was an interesting interpretation.
Nice things about him. The interesting thing is, because we've played this song before.
Yes.
And this song is also
written by a football player.
A former football player,
yeah.
Mike Reed, who's written hit songs galore.
The first time, because this is, you know, Tom, I don't, have I ever talked about how much I love the Bonnie Raitt song? I mentioned sometimes there are perfect songs. That is a perfect song. It is a beautiful song. It's a heartbreaking song, and her version is amazing. Bon Iver does a great version of it too. It's a great song. When you brought that in, the first time you brought it in, considering I've loved that song since,
and I did not know this at the time.
Yeah, I know you didn't. And truly, one of my favorite songs ever in the history of music. And when you brought that in and told me that a former football player, NFL player, wrote it, I was like, and his version, we played his version
right.
of it, I was like, what? It actually totally blew my mind.
Yeah.
You successfully blew my mind.
Excellent.
That
morning. Excellent.
So, all right.
I mean, there's no pants on the ground, but.
Yeah, pants on the ground. So, all right, Rick, hang on.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Rick Geezer is with us, and we are doing a special football edition of Sports Songs. Check out sportsongs.com. You can get the podcasts at WGNRadio.com and iTunes, and he's on Facebook too, Sports Songs. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? How you doing? It is Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday, straight out of context, you big dummy. Fly Jams Friday and Vic's Picks all coming up right here on 720 WGN. We are also going to play some crazy highlights from last night's Hamp OB and Cause show after the Bears loss. They went a little ballistic. And we'll play some of that back as well. Right now, though, Rick Geezer is with us. The NFL season has kicked off, so we are doing a football-themed sports songs edition. Tell us about what we just heard there.
That was Jonathan Stewart, running back for the Carolina Panthers at the time. He played in Super Bowl 50 in 2016, and he's playing the piano on that track with the help of some background singers. Of course, the song was Hello by Adele,
yep.
And that was from a CBS program called MVP.
Oh.
Where they had different NFL players.
Oh, yeah, play. Yeah. I remember that. Oh.
Yeah, it was around Super Bowl time.
Right.
So they got a few people.
Very cool. That. So that's him on the keys.
Exactly.
All right, very cool. Well, welcome back. Football edition of Sports Songs. Where do you want to go next?
Well, that's a little mellow. Let's bring it up a little bit. Track 277. This is Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. He was in fourth place in season 22 of Dancing with the Stars. More important, he was on last season of The Masked Singer.
That's right.
And that starts again in a couple weeks.
Yep.
And he did this parody of the Weeknd song, song by The Weeknd, for a Madden 17 commercial.
Right.
So why don't we check this out?
Yeah, let's check this out. Antonio Brown.
And you know that I could catch the ball. You know that I could run. I can also jump into the air because I don't weigh a ton. So just put me on your Madden team. Let's get this season won. We can roll to the Super Bowl. Touchdown pass, don't worry. I got it. Deep coverage, don't worry. They're slow. You know I will always be open just as soon as the ball gets thrown. Oh, oh, oh. I can't stop my end zone dancing moves. When I shake it, they can't take it. Let me win a Super Bowl with you. Oh, you love it. One more of it.
Build your team and take them all the way. Madden NFL 17. EA Sports. It's in the game.
They did a series of commercials that year. They had Von right. Miller. They also had Gronkowski doing Living on a Prayer.
Right. And, have we played that one?
Well, why don't we listen to it then?
No. We've played Gronkowski, the one we just played.
I don't think we have.
No, we haven't.
We haven't,
because I just happened to adore that Weeknd song.
Yeah,
so
I forgot how great that song
is. That song is so good.
Yeah,
But I don't like the Weeknd makes me sad now because he changed his ridiculous hair.
He's not the Weeknd anymore.
He doesn't have the ridiculous hair anymore.
Well, you know, things change. Nick.
No, they
that's
can't.
His power is the hair. Is the power is
he
in
started
the
working
hair.
With Daft Punk, and all of a sudden, whoosh.
Yeah, I like that guy though, man. I think the Weeknd is extraordinarily talented.
Great
dude. Great stuff. All right, that was funny. Now we played. Good. I think we played the other ones. I think it's the first time we've ever played that.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. What's next?
Why don't we go to another song we haven't played before? It's a short song.
Yeah.
It's a track 323. It's Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, and it was revealed during a podcast that he and his brothers went into the studio and recorded some songs, and they played portions of it on this Vikings podcast. And this song, we're going to hear him sing Blink 182's First Date.
Oh God. All right, so this is from a podcast.
They're playing the recording, and they revealed during the podcast these will never be released. They were just some things they were goofing around with.
Oh God. All right. Okay, here we go.
Let's go. Don't wait. This night's almost over. Honest, let's make.
Not bad, right?
Oh, I love that.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. But then they were like attacking each other for the quality.
You can do the dead arm dance to that song.
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
And then why don't we play the next track, 324?
All right.
Because then they also played another song they recorded,
right.
And it's the Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon.
Okay, here we go.
She took my arm.
Ooh.
I don't know how it happened. She took the floor and she said, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me.
It's not bad, right?
And
that's
woman is my destiny. She said,
I mean, come on.
So
pretty good. Tom's on the drums there too.
Very impressive. Very impressive. So I think we need to have some bonfires this fall because it's Minnesota.
Around a lake.
Guitar.
Around a lake with somebody playing the guitar and then Kirk singing. I will watch.
We'll
listen.
Give you a tambourine.
That's great. That was fun.
So, I hope the whole version sometimes somehow get out.
Those were not bad at all. Yeah. Actually, not bad at all, especially the Blink 182. That was not bad at all.
Wow. Okay, let's do one more before we break.
Okay, let's go to 328. Earlier, we played Anthony Adams singing about Chick-fil-A. Let's hear him singing a song from last year about grilling. It's called Grilling Uproar. It's 328.
Okay.
And we've never played this. This is a new debut.
Okay. Here we go.
Put the ribs low. Where the pellets go? Grill, smoke, bake, roast. Now I'm up in smoke. Bow. Wow. Get the tongues, dog. Flip the chicken, bro. Now I apply the sauce. Spicy buffalo. Douse it in the mop. Make it even coat. Mix it with some jelly or even compote. The smoke never dies. This a Traeger, yo.
Traeger.
Glasses on my eyes. Grilling out the foe. Cook the ribs low. Where the pellets go? Grill, smoke, bake, roast. Now I'm up in smoke. This the grill show. You got front row. Plug it up, bro. Watch the fire show. Top it full of ribs. Get a whole row. Looking at the cue, make my face glow. Put the coal inside. Oh, that's a no-no. I put the pellets in the side and I cook it slow. Put the ribs low. Where the pellets go? Trade the charcoal for the pellets, bro. I use the dry rub. Where the sauce go? This a Traeger grill. Now where the gas go? It's electric. That's where the plug go. I'm sipping on team. Money's on glow. I got a Duffo full of spatulas. There the love go. Grilling up, bro. Cook the ribs low. Where the pellets go? Grill, smoke, bake, roast. Now I'm up in smoke. Bow. Get the tongue stall.
Oh, flip man. That's great. You know, this is especially some great stuff this morning. I got to tell you, a lot of new stuff. A lot of great stuff.
And you know the song, Tom?
I don't. I don't know what song he's doing.
I can't remember which one it is, but I know he was doing some parodies of Jay-Z. He did some of Lil Wayne.
Oh, okay. You know, so. I'm more of a Wu-Tang guy.
All right. Wow, Anthony Spice Adams, and the song parodies that he does are food related somehow.
Mostly food related. That's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool stuff. Very funny. All right. Check out sportsongs.com, and you can go to iTunes or WGNRadio.com for the podcast, and also he's on Facebook too. Rick, hang on.
Okay.
Take a break. We got the news coming up and then more sports songs, football edition coming up. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. And we are live in the WGN Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Friday morning. All the regular Friday features of the Nick DiGilio Show are coming up, so stay tuned for that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page. Like us, follow us right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Rick Geezer is with us. The football season has officially begun, so we're doing a football-themed edition of Sports Songs. Welcome back, Rick.
Thank you very much. And I should mention, yes. Coming up, so put a cassette into your recorder to get ready to play to record it, because we're going to be playing the classic Super Bowl itch before
which
the end
is
of the show.
One of the great... Tom, have you experienced the Super Bowl itch?
I mean, yes, but not the song.
Oh, well, prepare yourself, my friend.
This is a good one.
It's it's one of the greatest sports songs. One of my favorite sports songs of all time. I mean, my favorite sports song of all time is "Honky."
You got it. Yeah,
it's "Honky the Christmas Goose." But yeah, this is right up there.
Yes, it is.
Super Bowl.
Yes,
itch.
It is.
All right. Where do we go next?
Track 144, okay. And we've played this many times, but you got to play it if you're talking football, and especially on a day or the night after a Bears-Packers game. This is Reggie White. Who put out a song in 1985 when he was leading the Packers on defense. And the song is called Doggies in the House. It was and it's just amazing. So check it out. And there's some great impressions in there as well.
That's right. This is pretty special too, Tom. Prepare yourself for this one too, really, seriously.
Minnesota. We gotta shut them down. What we gotta do? Tampa
Tampa Bay. Man, that's gotta be a lot of damage done by the pack attack. We gonna do some damage. Ain't that right, Muhammad?
You're right, Roger. You gotta do some damage. You gotta put them down. Because I'm the greatest in the world. You gotta be the greatest in the world. The pack gotta be the greatest in the world. Ever in the world. What do you think about that, Macho Man?
Oh, yeah. Bridget, you know exactly what you guys have got to do. You gotta get on the field and cause some damage. You're in the house with the pack attack. Oh, yeah. Put it to him, Hulk. Let me tell you something, brother. All those maniacs out there know that the pack attack is back, brother. So what are they gonna do when those pythons and those packers fall down on you, brother? What are they gonna do on the field, brother? There's gonna be a lot of damage done. You know it's gonna be done. Isn't that right, Rodman?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people say I don't need respect, but I tell you, it's time for the Packers to get respect around here. They're gonna get a little respect. I know that they are. So give them a little respect.
That's the worst Rodney Dangerfield I've ever heard in my life.
And we didn't even get to him doing Bill Cosby.
We got Bill Cosby. Yeah. And it's him, Reggie White, doing some fantastic impressions. Apparently he's a wrestling fan.
I got to give it up for any Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why he did them, you know, if we're getting critical here.
Yeah.
Why would you do the two wrestlers in a row? You should have separated them.
Yeah, you want to show some variation in your
agree.
In your impressions.
I would agree.
But that really was the worst Rodney Dangerfield I've ever heard.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God. Okay. Because he just kept saying, respect, respect.
That was it.
That's all
he
could say. That's my Rodney Dangerfield. My Rodney Dangerfield impression is just saying the word respect over and over again. I don't get respect. Respect.
crazy.
Okay. What's next?
Why don't we go to 322? Now, this is really good, and this is by a very respected singer and a very respected human rights activist, Paul Robeson.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know Paul Robeson played in the NFL?
I didn't know that.
Paul Robeson played in the NFL in 1921 and 1922 with the Akron Pros. This is 322.
Yeah.
With the Akron Pros in 21 and the Milwaukee Badgers in 22. He played his collegiately at Rutgers, and he is in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
But Paul Robeson, of course, is so well known for the songs he did, you know, Showboat and, you know, all those great songs and all the spirituals that he sang and for the work he did on behalf of human rights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was blacklisted, you know, the whole things he went through.
Yeah.
But why don't we listen to one of his songs? This is from 1958, so a little later in his career, but he's singing from a New York City concert at Carnegie Hall.
Okay, here we go.
Not far, just close by, through an open door. Work all done, carried by, going to feel no more. Mother's there expecting me, father's waiting too. Lots of folks gathered there.
Wow.
What a voice.
Yeah, incredible. Had no idea he played.
I had no idea. I mean, of course, everyone knows about Paul Robeson.
Sure.
But I was doing some research for this appearance, and I ran into a thing, especially with this, the 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, here is someone you might not have known.
Yeah.
Played within that 100 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. Okay. Paul Robeson. Wow. Okay. What's next?
Let's go to track 136. You're going to be playing a bunch of clips from Hamp, OB, and Kaz a little bit later on. Well, why don't we hear a song from Hamp?
Okay.
In 1987, he was part of a group called the Chicago Six. He's still part of a group. They're still playing, you know, festivals around the area, doing some recording as well. And they put on a big concert at the UIC Pavilion or whatever it's called. I mean, it's sponsored now, but over there. And he's singing Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen.
All right. Here's Hamp, who you're going to hear yelling about last night's last night's Bears game in just a little bit. Dan Hampton.
Well, I had a friend who was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool, boy. I saw him the other night at the roadside bar. He was walking out. We went back inside, sat down, had a few drinks, but all he kept talking about Glory Days. Yeah, pass you by Glory Days. And we give a young girl die Glory Days. Glory Days, yeah.
Yeah. Really good, of course. Very good.
That is good.
It's really good.
Yeah. And he's still playing today, and you know now he's teamed up with Steve McMichael and Otis Wilson.
Yeah.
During this concert, it was him with Sweetness Walter Payton on drums, Dave Duerson, and a few members of the Blackhawks.
Oh, Davey Doo.
Yeah.
Was Troy?
Troy Murray was part of that. Yes, he was. When I bring it up to him, he. He turns many shades of red.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear him and Weidman back on the radio. It couldn't come soon enough, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Less than a month. Less than a month away from hockey. So that means the next time you come back will be at the beginning of hockey season.
Well, let's play some hockey.
And we got to do some hockey songs.
We'll do some hockey. Exactly.
Very cool. All right. Let's do some hockey.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Just got the reference.
All right.
It's Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper when he hosted SNL. No idea what his sports correspondent and black guy who had no idea what hockey was. They know what they say. Let's do some hockey. All right. What's next?
Let's go to 171. This is a song by a former Super Bowl MVP, Terrell Davis. And I'm going to play this because it's one of your favorite rappers is joining him. It's Legit. This is a song called All in the Game. And
yeah.
this came out on cassette. I have the cassette.
Right. I've seen it.
And it comes with a trading, a trading card and everything.
Yeah. Legit.
Legit.
Yes, one of my favorite rap names of all. I have no idea who Legit is.
Don't know Legit.
But I know it's...
Tom might know Legit.
He will never quit because he's too legit.
I don't know Legit.
Okay.
I'm unlegit.
Okay.
And therefore I must quit.
Okay. Terrell Davis with Legit.
A soldier's story. It's not about the fame or the glory. Peacetime, wartime. Enemies coming for me. I'm 6 foot, 215, running 4'4". The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. Expect and expect it. It's my motto, and it's real. It's the Samuel L. Jackson and me. A time to kill. Get my soldier boots, no steel toes. The ones with the Nike swoosh. Buckle my chin strap, my hard hat. Your signal to my troops. We're going in, side by side. On this road, survive. You better lift weights. Bounce around if you want to stay alive. One drop of venom, one serum. It's enough to kill 1,000 men. It's like riding a bike, fall off. Get back on, let's start again.
I'm assuming that's Legit.
Legit was the guy singing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that was Legit. Okay,
yeah.
Man, he's legit.
I mean, he sings legit. It was legit.
Oh, man.
Or something that rhymes with legit.
Yeah. wait, hold on.
All right.
Wow. All right, why don't we break here?
Okay.
And we'll come back. We got one more segment with Rick, and we've got more football-related sports songs to do right here on 720 WGN, and we'll get right to it after this.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Vic's Picks and Fly Jams Friday. All coming up right here. Right now, though, we are talking with Rick Geezer from SportsSongs.com. And coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Jordan Bernfield in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
That again was Dennis Green.
That was Dennis Green again. That was Happiness is Contagious. And listening to that kind of sounded like Mercy, Mercy Me.
It did a little bit, yeah. Yeah, it did.
So.
And it's football edition of Sports Songs. And where do we want to go?
Why don't we go to track 156? It's a song I've had on the list for a number of years, but just never got around to playing.
Okay.
It's from a group called Bits of the Bunch. Bits of the Bunch. And this is, it's four members of the 1980 Washington Redskins. And now I said 1980, this is pre-Super Bowl Shuffle. So people were putting out songs before the Super Bowl
Shuffle. There you go, yeah.
And it's their reworking of the Spinners classic called Working Our Way Back to You.
Oh, okay. And it's Bits of the Bunch.
Bits of the Bunch.
Now, you said 1980 Redskins.
Yes. Super Bowl Shuffle kicked it up a notch.
I hope somebody requests the actual version of that song for Fly Jams Friday later.
That's a great song.
So we can get the taste of that out of our mouths, play the real version of it later.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, then the Super Bowl Shuffle, of course, caused everybody to want to do stuff. So why don't we go to track 165? I don't think we've played this one. This was from the 1988 Philadelphia Eagles, and this was Randall Cunningham and all his teammates are singing about Buddy Ryan in a song called Buddy's Watching You.
Okay, here we go.
Back, the guy everybody wants to sack. Now you see me, now you don't. You think you will? No, you won't.
Quick six, a wide receiver. They thought the name was a joke, but I made them all believers. I go up guys all around. Who's got the ball when we hit the ground?
Jerome Brown with a lot to say. I back it up by the way I play. Guys, look at me, I don't know what to do. I see, look out, and I'm coming on through.
But he's watching you. The Philly fans are too, so you better hold that line. If you don't, you're gonna make us go out.
Good God. This is so 1988.
It definitely is.
With the Wiki Wiki.
And the good God.
Good God. And it's all about Buddy Ryan.
It is.
It sounds like he's going to murder somebody.
Oh, I wouldn't put it past Buddy Ryan to have murdered somebody.
Yeah. Talk to Hampton about that.
Exactly. All right. Well, that was great. All right. What's next?
Well, from that same era, why don't we go to track 164 then? That same era, 1986. So at the start of the 86 season, the Los Angeles Raiders, which had stars like Howie Long, Jim Plunkett, and more, they put out their own record called Silver and Black Attack.
Oh, okay. And this is the L.A. Raiders.
This is the L.A. Raiders.
All right, there we go.
Gets headlines of glory every day. Running and catching may appeal to the mob, but I'd rather be tackling and doing my job. This long's not short on quarterback sacks, and I love to sit on those running backs. We wear the silver, we wear the black. We never retreat, we always attack.
Allen's my name, offense is my game. Running or catching to me is the same. Cause if you wanna win, you got to score. Even when you're tired and your muscles are sore, just give it a ball.
You know, you hear these things and you go, man, I wish the Super Bowl shuffle never existed.
Well, and also you can hear with the guitar going, it was like, oh, so Beat It had already been a hit.
Let's bring
out the rock guitar.
No, those last two were very, very, very late 80s.
Yeah.
No, but there was no wiki-wiki.
No wiki-wiki on that one. No, sorry about that. I apologize.
That's going to downgrade it, right?
Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay, what's next?
Why don't we go to 161 since we're in that era? Why don't we go back a few years pre-Super Bowl shuffle? The 1981 San Diego Chargers put out a whole album. It includes Hall of Famers Kellen Winslow and Fred Dean, plus a whole bunch of others. And this is a song called We Came to Play.
And this is
161.
Okay. All right, here we go. What year was this again?
1981. That period, kind of like the Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah.
Not quite disco, not quite, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. All right. I think we have time for two more.
Oh, two more.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, why don't we go with... I was thinking we only had one, but why don't we play another Anthony Spice Adams?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
What
number?
We will go to track. Let's go to track 327.
Okay.
And this was put out in 2013, one of his earliest one, and this is his ode to pulled pork.
And it's 327.
327. The song is simply called Pulled Pork.
And it's just about pulled pork.
It is. This is a great number. Check out the video. You can go to YouTube and check it out.
All right.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Anthony Adams, who enjoys food. Okay. All right. It didn't work.
Okay,
right, let's go to the final. Let's go to the final song.
We'll get to the final song, and then the final song we're going to play is track 174, and that is going to be by Kenny Burrows. He played with.
There we go. We're all set.
Okay, which one are we playing, Kenny Burrows?
Yes.
Kenny Burrows played with the Houston Oilers, and in 1979 they were a pretty good team, and they were trying to get to the Super Bowl, and he put out a song called The Super Bowl Itch.
Here it is, everybody. The Super Bowl Itch. I love that he basically compares going to the Super Bowl with a disease.
It's a complete disease,
and
yes.
Rocky can't fight, and Dracula will not bite.
Is Dracula not biting a bad thing? I don't know.
For Dracula, I think it is. All right, Rick, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thank you for having me.
We'll get you back in when hockey season begins.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Rick Giezer, sportsongs.com is the website. Let's take a break here. The news is up after this. Hey, welcome back. How's everybody doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it's Friday. Yeah, man, Friday. All of our regular Friday features are coming up, and that would be You Big Dummy, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, Vix Picks, and Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jam Friday requests in. Luscious Hushus will be here to play your Fly Jams. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So, There was a bear game last night, wasn't there? Was there a Bears game last night?
I believe there was. Sources are saying yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Does Mitch Trubisky know there was a bear game last night?
Ah, there you go. I don't think so. Not sure. Yeah, it was not pretty, and yeah. So, because pre and post bear games right here on WGN are always really great. And Rick Giezer, who was just on with us, playing some of his sports songs collections. He is the producer of the show, and we've got it's always very special to listen to those guys, to listen to Hamp and OB and Kaz and Carm. It's especially fun to listen when the Bears lose. It's especially fun to listen when the Bears lose to the Packers, and then it's especially fun to listen when the Bears lose to the Packers on one of the most hyped games in the history of the sport. On the anniversary of the 100th anniversary of NFL, represented here in Chicago with a big 12-hour party in Grant Park, and all kinds of cool stuff. So I only saw bits and pieces of the game. And because I watched a little bit of the Cubs, and then of course I had to watch Big Brother. You got to catch up, Tom.
I know. I've been terrible. I've been terrible the last few weeks.
We're getting down to the nitty gritty right now.
I'm going to need a binge at some point and just get through all of it
we're down to the final five. Oh, after last night's episode, there's only five people left. You missed the double eviction. Did you caught up on Zingbot?
I caught up on Zingbot. That's the last thing I've had the chance to watch.
Okay.
But you know me, I'm a workaholic.
Yes.
What can I say?
I know that. And for fans of Big Brother, I thought last night's episode was pretty great. I was particularly fond of the HOH competition last night. It was maybe my favorite part of the entire season. Was last night's. I won't give away, who won the HOH or any of that stuff. But I got to say, it was probably my favorite. It was my favorite moment, and clearly my favorite comp of the season.
Now, this has been a pretty rough season in terms of quality throughout some of it.
Yeah.
Where is this starting to sit for you? Because you've turned a corner on certain things.
There are the players that are left in the game, there are five players left in the game. I despise two of them. I go back and forth on one of them, and I really like one of them, and I love one of them. So there are two that I'm really, really, I would love to see either one of them win. One in particular. And that one that I'm rooting for, who I really, really love, that's the one, and I'm not giving anything away, that's the one that won HOH last night. That person is the one that I'm really rooting for, and it was my favorite moment of the entire season. So, yeah, two people I hate, who I would love to see gone. Unfortunately, it seems to me like they're there for a while. I mean, even though there's only 20 days left, they're there for a while. Mm-hmm. And the one I go back and forth on, I just go back and forth on. But the two that I really like, I hope they are the final two. I don't think they will be, but I hope they are. That's where I'm at right now. But I got a feeling that when we get down to the final three on finale night, it's going to be the two that I hate and the one that I go back and forth on.
Interesting.
I think that's how it's gonna end up.
All right.
I watch the show. I've watched the show since the beginning. I watch it every year. And by the way, they announced that it's renewed. It's on again next summer.
As one might expect.
Yeah. I don't know what the ratings are or have been on this season, but this was a season that was populated with mostly either unexciting or downright idiotic or unlikable house guests. And some of those guests I warmed up to them as they went along. But it's not like, you know, in past seasons, there are several house guests that you kind of like or several that you really like and some that you hate. But this was just like, these people are idiots. Like for the first 3-4 weeks of the show, I was like, these people are idiots. But I clearly have now, with the final five in place, I know where my alliance is, or my allegiance, I should say. Alliance, I'm sorry, that's a word that they say 8,000 times an episode.
Yeah.
Big Brother.
It's a lot.
But I clearly know who I'm rooting for and who I'm not rooting for.
The battle lines are drawn.
Absolutely. No question about it. But it went exactly the way, last night went exactly the way that I thought it would go. I sound like Dennis Green, but it's exactly the way like I thought it would go. I was like, okay, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and that's exactly what happened, which is why I think I know who the final three are going to be. And the two people that I really like, the one person that I really love, I don't think will be in the finale. So, but anyway, it was great. You know, like last night was great while it lasted. It was a great moment for the one person that I really, really, really am rooting for and that I love. It was a great, great, great moment and a great comp. It was very exciting. The fact that it was live, you know, and it was double eviction because, like, right after this person won the HOH, this person had to immediately put two people up on the block because it's double eviction night.
Right.
So that was dramatic and crazy. It was a really good episode. You got to catch up. Man.
Yeah.
You got to
yeah.
catch up.
Well, especially when it gets, as you said, the nitty gritty is really when people's personalities, their true personalities start coming out.
Yeah.
And those kind of tough decisions that they have to make on the spot, you know, that's going to tell you a lot more about a person than if they spend a lot of time scheming. The scheming's fun. I love a little bit of scheming, but when it gets really up to the grindstone, it's really, really interesting to watch what people will do.
That's exactly what happened. And last night's episode was the first time that, like, it was like a very, 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 very difficult decision had to be made by people. And like you were saying, you can see when someone's back is up against the wall and they're getting, you know what? You don't have any choice. Maybe you really like all these people that are left in the house. And I genuinely think that there were a lot of friendships that were made in this house, despite the fact there are a couple of complete a-holes. But I really think that they got along. I think that these group of house guests got along, despite the fact that a lot of them were morons.
Do you think the casting is going to be more stringent come next year?
Well,
do they see what's happened with this one?
I think they, I think the feedback has been, you know, like for, cause I'm a hardcore Big Brother fan. I'm what do they call? I'm a Big Brother super fan. And they've got to cast better people next season. They have to, even though I've been compelled to watch it, and I'm very excited. You know, for the next, you know, couple of weeks leading up to the finale, I think it's going to be fun to watch, and I think the five people that are left, the dynamic is going to be really interesting to see how they get down to the final three for the finale, and then who ends up, you know, who ends up winning. But I really think that the producers are probably going to have to take a look back to this, and because especially during the early portions of the, you know, the early weeks of the show continuing in, because it really didn't start to get compelling to me until about halfway through the season. And then I was like, okay, now I can start. I know where I'm kind of rooting. But at the beginning, yeah, I mean, you know, Dan Feinberg, who watched Big Brother on a regular basis,
that's right,
he gave up after like two episodes.
And I don't blame him, because they were really giving nothing. Obviously, we're talking about a show that is heavily edited. You know, they bring certain storylines to the front. I mean, that's the name of the game. But it seems like the house guests were really giving nothing for the editors and the producers to work with at first.
Yeah.
There was like where there were no storylines emerging right out of the gate. People didn't seem very likable. Even the ones that were likable weren't as likable as previous house guests. So
yeah, exactly right.
I'm glad things have kind of shaken out to be, you know, fairly decent towards the end.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah.
And because there was genuine, for me, there was genuine excitement last night, like genuine, like, oh yes, like I never, I haven't done that all season until the HOH comp last night. That was the first time I went yes and got very excited about what happened. Like the person that I was rooting for, I'm really rooting for, and I loved what happened. But yeah, and of course I can't wait to see the finale. I mean, I'm an idiot. And then in the winter they'll do Celebrity Big Brother.
Now I can't wait till they announce the cast. Well,
the thing about that was like, I watched it from beginning to end, you know. But as soon as Tom Green got evicted, I was like, okay, I no one to root for now, because I was obviously rooting for Tom Green. I'm like, I mean, please, and he was great on a Celebrity Big Brother, and clearly he got audience favorite. You know what I mean? When they gave away the prizes at the end, he won audience favorite, so he was the audience favorite, which I find really ironic considering that like when his show was on MTV, and when Freddie Got Fingered came out. He was considered one of the most obnoxious and unlikable people entertainers ever. He's on Celebrity Big Brother. He wins the check for the fan favorite. I love that.
There it is.
So anyway, all right. So that's some Big Brother talk. So I was watching that. I watched a little bit of the Cubs and I watched pieces of the Bears game. But our buddies here, Hampton, OB, and Kaz, clearly were not watching Big Brother last night. And had absolutely zero interest in Big Brother. Probably don't even know what it is and think, you know, I'm an idiot and people who watch it are morons. But they watched the Bear game, and it was a big one. Worldwide attention. You know, the NFL's 100th season celebrated in this city at Grant Park with a 12-hour party with bands and celebrities, and the NFL set the whole thing up and a big watch party. Soldier Field, legendary, the most legendary rivalry in NFL history. So all eyes were on this city, and it was a really rough game for the Bears. And the Packers beat them, made them look terrible. And so we have some highlights from the Hamp and OB show with Kaz, because it's a great show pre and post game. Win or lose, it's great. But especially if they lose, it's nice to hear and hilarious to listen to them go ballistic and speak the truth with such passion. And they did that last night. And Tom has gathered up some highlights from last night's show. And it began almost immediately after the game ended. The crap hit the fan. So we've got some of that. And we're going to play those for you, those highlights from last night's show, after we break.
Jesus just left Chicago, and he's back for New Orleans. Well, now Jesus just left Chicago.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio downtown Chicago here until 5 a.m. Friday. All the regular Friday features are starting off after the 3:30 news. Vic Vaughn will be joining us. He took the morning off because he was very excited about the Bears festivities. He's a giant Bears fan. And he was going to watch the game with his girlfriend, Jeannie, who happens to be from Wisconsin and is a Packers fan. So it'll be interesting to talk to him about how much he loved having having the night off. But he will still do Vic's picks. He will be here to tell us about what's the latest on his musical journey, listening to every single album on the greatest albums, 100 greatest albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. So Vic's picks coming up live after the news. Okay, we mentioned the Bears game. We also mentioned that Hamp, OB, and Kaz and Carm are part of the post show. And immediately, game ended roughly 10:30 last night, very close to 10:30. It ended about 2 minutes before they went on the air. So it was fresh. So the end of the game was very, very fresh. And they were very, as you know, if you listen to it regularly, they're very passionate about it, and they like to speak their minds, and sometimes they go nuts. And last night, they went nuts. So we decided we'd put together some of the greatest, funniest, and most impassioned and let's tell it like it is moments from last night's Hamp, OB, and Kaz show. So let's play this first cut. This was a phrase that was said many times during the broadcast last night. So let's hear this.
We open up at home again. The 100th season. The 100th. In the National Football League. George Halas, the founding father of the National Football League. You got this city waiting for him. Everybody thought that the Packers, and of all people, the Packers are coming here. We're going to tear them apart. At least that's what I thought. And to go again. First quarter, no touchdowns. Second quarter, no touchdowns. Third quarter, no touchdowns. Fourth quarter, no touchdowns. You got to be kidding me.
The heavy breathing in the background.
I know. It's just, he's so mad. He's so mad. And that was like literally 1 minute into the show. Seriously, that was 1 minute into the show. Jordan, you were here, obviously.
He was festering, though. Like, when I walked in tonight,
yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get my bearings in this new studio and everything,
right.
And I don't really know where I'm going in this new building yet, but
yeah.
When you walk in, and there's the conference room right there,
yeah.
And they're watching the game, and all of them were just, like, stomping around the room.
Yeah.
And I got there probably in the middle of the third quarter,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, I am not going in.
Yeah, do not go in. Like, they watch it. The conference room
yeah.
is the conference room is located right at the entrance, the front entrance of our offices. And that's where they watch the game. It's a big conference room with a big TV in there. They got food and everything, and they were not happy.
It was just like one of those things where, you know, I want to introduce myself and be friendly
right.
and everything. I was like, this is not the time.
Yeah. Okay, all right, they were going to go to break. This happened. They were talking about the scoring and how they didn't score. We've got this clip. This is Hampton, right? This is Hamp. Okay.
I am absolutely, Danny. I thought we were going to come out there and absolutely crush the Packers. You're going to come in there. Okay, we're going to give you a beating of all beatings, and look at what happened. Not prepared to play football. Again, four quarters. How the hell do you go four quarters in the opening game of the 2019 season? And you mean to tell me you can't even score one touchdown, not one?
Mark Carmen could score three times on a Thursday night at a convent.
Well,
and we can only get nothing out of it.
Mark Carmen could score three times on a Thursday night at a convent. Only Ham could come up with a line like that. Also, OB, just to let you know, when you bang on the console, you can hear it. But it's awesome. Don't stop doing it.
He wants you to hear it.
It's bump, bang, bump, bang, bump. He's banging on it. Okay. They were about to go to break. I remember I was listening at this point. They were about to go to break. I believe this is at 11:30, I think. This was they were about to go to news, go to break at 11:30. And As Carm was trying to throw it to break, Hamp came in with this thought.
Hey, this just in from Soldier Field. They're covering up the statues. They're embarrassed now. They're going to put the tarp back on.
Yeah, wait a minute. You want to know who's covering them up? They came alive for 10 seconds to pull the tarp over. That's who's pulling the that's who's covering them up. They just came back to life. Zoop.
Yep. All right. And again, now we're back. This is OB going nuts here, right? Again. This next cut?
Yeah, is this shucking and jiving?
Yeah, shucking and jiving. Yeah. Which is a very politically incorrect term, I might add, but let's hear it.
What is this guy thinking of? These guys were not prepared. And when I think about it, Danny and Mark, when I go back and I looked at all the exhibition games, did you see our starters? All that shucking and jiving and laughing, juking around on the sideline. Now it comes to the real deal. And Nagy did not have this team prepared to play the opening game of the 100th season of the National Football League. That was an absolute joke.
Okay. And then we got a couple of other short ones here. Here's another one. This one, the term razzle-dazzle was thrown around here.
Desperately throw, throw, throw. We threw the ball 44 times. We ran it 14, but the two times that make you want to, you know, that makes you want to vomit is we're third and one, and we go shotgun, and we're trying razzle dazzle instead of just getting the first down, trying to get some momentum. Sickening.
Makes you want to vomit. Makes you want to vomit. And then finally, this is OB. They have a segment on the show where who brought it. Okay, like which player brought it? So who brought it? And they brought that segment up, and this is what was said.
Who brought it?
Who brought it?
Nagy. He brought it. He brought the plague.
There you go.
The plague.
Anyway, if you were listening, you know just how passionate those guys are and how funny that is. That's just so funny. And I thought OB was, I thought glass was going to shatter. I thought his head was going to explode.
You could probably use the geothermal energy from his head.
Yeah.
To fuel a city.
Incredible. Incredible. But they love the game. They're smart. They've got experience. And it's great radio. It's absolutely great radio. And sometimes really funny, even though they lost. Really funny. Okay.
You guys always cut this stuff up. Do you remember, I think it was last year or the year before when they lost a game in Kansas City that they were supposed to win? This is like before Kansas City got really good. I remember I was on the road driving home, and I was in my car for an hour listening to them.
Yeah.
And I thought somebody was going to jump out of the studio.
Oh, yeah. No, totally gets like that, man. It totally does. That's why you got to listen to these guys.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's true. It's honestly, it's better than the game.
Yeah.
There's no way that the game can be as entertaining as that.
That's right. All right. All right. We got a break here, and then we got the news, and then afterwards, Vic Vaughn is with us over the phone, and we're going to talk with him about Vic's picks and more right here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up in 30 seconds. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Friday morning. And our Friday morning regular features are beginning in just a minute with Vic's Picks, as Vic journeys through musical knowledge, listening to the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And we talk to him about a couple of albums every week. And then also coming up is You Big Dummy, where we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. Tom votes, I vote, and one of you votes. Who's the biggest dummy? We've got Straight Out of Context, where you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Nick D Show Spies. We want to know when someone's talking about me or the show. Listen 24/7 when anybody mentions me. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. With Wiki Wiki Nikki and, of course, Luscious Hushes. So there you go. All righty then. So our newsman, Vic Vaughn,
is not in the newsroom this morning, as you've been hearing throughout the morning. He did take the night off because of the Bears game. He was very excited about it. Was going to check out the big, you know, the big celebration that took place all day and into the evening and into the night at Grant Park, and then watch the game, the big game. Now, before we actually kick off the segment, I want to bring Vic back into the show here for a minute here. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
So, was it worth taking the night off?
No. I completely agree with what George said a few minutes ago. The after show was more exciting than the actual football game in this case, I think. I mean, yeah. It was exciting because of all the hoopla that was built up about this game.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it was kind of bad football. It was just not good football to watch.
You know, the thing that makes it, because it's always people hate it when the Bears lose. People hate it even more when the Bears lose to the Packers. But the way that they lost last night, and the other thing though, Vic, as you mentioned, the hype before the game. Oh my God, that only added to the painful way that that they lost.
It was unbelievable. That I mean, I knew it was going to be close. I really did. It seems like it's always close generally between the Packers and the Bears. But I was really shocked. I really did not expect to lose that game. I really thought we were going to win. I think most Bears fans thought we had a really good chance of winning last night. Yeah. I think most of us are kind of surprised that it went that way.
Yeah.
The offense was ridiculous.
Yeah. How's Jeannie been treating you?
She was gentle, but she definitely she got her shots in. Let's just say that. Okay. She got her shots in.
Did you remind her about the Cubs victory?
Oh, yeah, we were flipping back and forth, and believe me, but by the time we got into the second half of the Bears game, we spent, you know, a little more time talking about the Cubs
and their
big lead over the Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, they saved me so far. The Cubs have saved me so far tonight.
I bet. Well, you know what? You got three more games with them in Milwaukee, so it's going to be fun at the Vaughn household.
Heck yeah. Looking forward to them.
All right, cool. Let's hit the theme, shall we?
Albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
All right. As we all know, that Vic's been going on a musical journey of knowledge, listening to the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And we talk to him about a couple of albums each week after the 3:30 news. Vic, I appreciate it on your morning off to jumping in and talking to us today.
Well, thank you for letting me talk about it, man. I love this.
Okay, what are we going to talk about next? What album?
We're up to number 13 on the list. It's called The Velvet Underground and Nico by the band Velvet Underground, rock band out of New York. And this is their debut album. We can go into the band a little more if we have time, but they recorded it. I always like to say where they recorded it. It's three different studios in April, May, and then again in November of 1966. Two of the studios were in Manhattan, Scepter and Mayfair, and the third was out in Hollywood called PPG. That's where they did most of the work for this album. But I did read that most of this entire album was done in 4 days at that studio in Manhattan called Scepter. But the album was released a couple of months later in March of 67 by Verve Records, and this is the Velvet Underground album with the cover art by Andy Warhol, the one with the banana. But I learned that Warhol was Velvet Underground's manager and mentor. I didn't know that. The album, from what I read, falls under a genre that I hadn't heard of. And I guess it hadn't exactly been labeled yet at the time this album came out, but that was kind of labeled retroactively as proto-punk.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never heard that. But I read more about proto-punk, and again, we can talk more about that later if we have time. But From what I learned, basically, this is a pretty good example of a proto-punk song, and it's on this album. It's called Heroin. Tom?
Heroin. It's my wife, and it's my life, because a maniac. To my vein, leads to a center in my head, and then I
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of a, from what I read, kind of a controversial song. I guess some critics at the time thought the band might be glorifying heroin. So, you know, controversial song, but I wanted to use that one as well, because I thought it was cool to read about how the drummer, if you listen to that song, Maureen Tucker is the drummer of the band.
Yeah.
And she, in that song, she stops playing the drums, and it's noticeable because the drums are a big part of the way that song sounds. And she stops playing the drums. The song, like 5 minutes into it, she stops. It's over 7 minutes long, the song. But she stops playing them, and I read that the reason she did it was because everyone was getting so loud in the studio that she couldn't hear. And so she stopped playing. This one was recorded in Hollywood. She stopped playing, but she said everybody else kept playing. They never stopped to ask her what was up, which is what she thought she would do, what they would do. But they didn't. So she just started playing again, and they decided to leave it in the song.
Yeah.
But I love those little stories behind these songs. But if we can go back to the album's leadoff track for another good example of a proto-punk song, it's a song called Sunday Morning.
Praise the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side. Early dawning, Sunday morning. It's just a wasted year. So close behind.
Yeah, I thought that was a good example of a proto-punk song from what I've learned about proto-punk, because it's covering a darker issue, but yet it's got this very kind of beautiful sound to it.
Yeah.
But the subject's kind of the opposite, you know, it's about being hungover from Saturday night. So,
yeah.
But you know, this very chill sound to it, very uplifting sound, but with these kind of darker darker lyrics. There's a lyric in there where he says, I've got a feeling I don't want to know. And, you know, anyone who's ever been hungover can relate. But the next song, I'm Waiting for the Man, it's my favorite song on the album. And, again, it's an uplifting song as far as the sound, but, it, you know, it's got a driving tempo, and Tucker on the drums is a big part of that in this song, too. A great rhythm, this pounding sound to it. But it's about him waiting for his drug dealer. But he's got a little cash in his pocket. He's going to get whatever he can get with that cash. But, Tom?
You're chasing all women around. Oh, pardon me, sir. It's furthest from my mind. I'm just looking forward to a dear friend of mine. I'm waiting for my man.
Yeah. That's my favorite song on the album. I listen to that one over and over just for fun.
But, yeah.
And to fit this last one, and we'll finish off with Run, Run, Run. Tom?
Margarita Passion, I had to get her fixed. She wasn't well. She was getting sick. Went to sell her soul. She wasn't high. Didn't know. Think she could buy it, she would run, 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 take a drag or two.
That's my favorite song on the album, Vic.
Is that right?
Yeah, yep.
I knew it would be up there on your list.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this album, I've listened to 85 or so albums over the last few months, and it's educated me enough to know that this one stands out. It's different, and I want to listen to more of the Velvet Underground's albums, because I've read that some of them, or at least some of their songs were a little more radio friendly too as well than this particular album. But the Velvet Underground and Nico by the Velvet Underground, number 13, that was an awesome album.
And overall, Vic, did you like it?
I did. Yeah, I did. It was outside of my wheelhouse as far as what albums I'll play, you know, in my apartment just for fun. But I respect what I'm starting to respect a lot of the music that I don't necessarily connect with, to the point where I want to learn more about it. So this one in particular, I did like it. I did like it enough to check out some more of their music, because from what I read, they don't necessarily all sound like this album.
No,
Velvet Underground.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
No, it's a very unique album. And by the way, you should also Definitely check out Lou Reed's solo stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. He's the lead guitarist and singer.
Yeah, and he passed away a few years ago, and a massive loss to music. But his solo stuff is fantastic.
Do you think he would like Metal Machine music?
I will.
Yeah.
Try Lou Reed's Metal Machine music. It's real sweet stuff. Great for the kids.
Yeah. But
every time Tom recommends an album, it's always really nice listening.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you like this record because it's not the most accessible record. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it's very cool. But make sure you check out some solo Lou Reed. I think you'll dig it.
I already put a note by his name. Yeah,
all right,
cool. I will.
Okay, Vic, thanks. Hang on.
Okay.
All right, Vic Vaughn is with us. We're in the middle of Vic's Picks, where he tells us what he's listening to and what he's learning and what he likes. And the musical journey continues after we take a break here for some weather and some commercials. Nice choice, Tom.
This is one of my favorite Lou Reed songs.
Yeah, that's Lou Reed, who was lead singer and guitarist of Velvet Underground. And we were talking about Velvet Underground and Nico, which Vic listened to and really enjoyed. Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Jordan Bernfield in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, let's get back to Vic's Picks. Here's Vic Vaughn. Vic, welcome back, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your next album?
All right, number 12 was Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. And this, Nick, was one of the very few albums on this list that I'm actually pretty familiar with. I got introduced to this album a long time ago, and it got a lot of play in my place throughout the year. So I skipped it because, you know, this is about learning more, widening my culture with music. So
gotcha.
I went to number 11. By the way, Kind of Blue is it's an amazing album.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Tom played a little bit of it a couple nights ago, but the number 11 on this list was The Sun Sessions by Elvis Presley.
Now, see, this is spectacular, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, man. This ended up being another one of these albums to me that's gonna be one of my favorite for the rest of my life, because I had not heard a lot of the Elvis songs from this period, Nick, before in my life.
Yeah. And by the way, Vic, as I always try to make suggestions, this album has always been a favorite of mine, but it took on a whole new relevance for me when I actually visited Sun Studios in Memphis.
I've heard you talk about this
because it's one room. They recorded all that stuff in one room, and they actually have the microphone that Elvis used in that room.
And it's
an amazing place just to see all that history, and you can feel the history that's in Sun Studio when you visit there. And I highly recommend going down to Memphis and going there, especially now that you've heard the Sun Sessions.
Yeah.
It'll really make an impact on you.
There's something fascinating to me about the studios where they record these albums. I'm really being drawn to them. I haven't visited a single one yet, but there's something drawing me to these. Like, I want to go to Chess Records here in Chicago on the South Side.
Yeah.
It's still there where Chuck Berry did a lot of this stuff and a lot of other blues, you know, guys. So, yeah, definitely. I hear you.
Yeah. So tell me about what you liked about the Sun Sessions by Elvis.
Yeah. So this, it's a compilation album, first of all.
Yeah.
These are songs that Elvis recorded with Sun Records in Memphis, and he did it between 1954 and 1955. So this period, these are some of Elvis's first recordings, and he really pulled from the blues genre for this album, covering songs by, you know, great blues artists and songwriters. It was produced by Sam Phillips, who owned Sun Records Studio. Phillips also owned and operated a few radio stations, including one there in Memphis. But he produced records for other than Elvis, guys like Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, there's a lot of them. But the album Sun Sessions, again, this is from the era where Elvis's voice, to me, it just sounds so different from the stuff I grew up listening to. His voice is very pure from a lot of songs that I had heard, which was what my mom would listen to when I was growing up. And
yeah.
I think they were mostly from the Las Vegas era, those years, you know?
Yeah,
which are great songs, but yeah, it's just about every song from what I read about that Elvis recorded at Sun Studio is on this
album, and it's just great old rockabilly rock and roll. And Tom's got a piece of the album's lead off track, a song called, I think maybe my one of my favorite on this album. It's called "That's All Right."
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do it, that's all right. That's all right.
It's a signature song, one of Elvis's signature songs.
That one hits me right there. I'm right in the right spot. That's a great song. Yep. That's the lead-off track. That's a cover song by a blues player, singer-songwriter. I can't remember his real name, but I know him by the name Elmer James.
Mm-hmm.
I know his name because I actually have two albums by Elmer James. One of them was in my dad's record collection that I found in his attic after he died. I kept that one, and then another one I bought at Reckless Records here in Chicago. But I love that to lead this album off, that Elmer James song, because 25 seconds into that song, I was sold. I was all into this whole album.
Yeah,
it just captured my attention right from the start. But let's get a little bit from a song called "I Don't Care If the Sun Don't Shine."
With my baby, but it ain't no fun when the sun around. I get going when the sun goes down tonight. With my baby, well, that's when we're gonna kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss, and we're gonna kiss some more. But who cares how many times we kiss? Cause at a time like this, who keeps score? Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time when I meet my baby.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it worked, because Jeannie and I were in the apartment when that one came on, and it worked, because we started kissing and laughing and having fun, dancing. That's a song by songwriter Mac Davis, and I fell in love with that one. But the next one, "You're a Heartbreaker," is another good one for this album that just gives you an idea of the rockabilly sound of this album, which I think is why I love this album so much. But Tom?
You're a heartbreaker, you're a love maker. Heartbreaker playing with fire. You're a tear snatcher. You're a quarrel patcher. But you can't break my heart anymore.
That's the song Sam Phillips asked Jack Staley to write. And he said he wanted an original song for Elvis. And a few days later, Jack Staley. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but he wrote it in a few days and had it ready to go for Elvis stuff for an original song for him. And real quickly to get it in, that was released as the B side to Elvis' third single, Under Sun Records. And I thought we'd wrap up the Sun Sessions albums with that. It's A side, Elvis' cover of a song by Kokomo Arnold called "Milk Cow Blues."
Well, I woke up this morning and I looked out the door. I can tell that old milk cow for the way she looked. Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change. Well, I woke up this morning and I looked out the door. I can tell that old milk cow, I can tell the way she low. Now if you see my milk cow, he's a rockin' on home, home. I ain't had no milk and butter since that cow's been gone.
Great stuff.
That's another one that Jeannie and I had a lot of fun laughing about. But what can I say? The King, Elvis Presley, that's at the Sun Sessions, the record by far one of my favorites by Elvis now, so I think it's priceless.
My favorite song that he recorded at Sun Studios is "Mystery Train." It's so good. And you got if you're talking about the stuff that he did at Sun Sessions, you got to mention guitarist Scotty Moore, legendary guitarist. Bill Black was on the double bass, which you can hear throughout the entire thing, and Jimmy Lott played drums. Those guys were top musicians that Sam Phillips got for him, and like you said, you know, the voice is different than it was when he was young, right out of the gate in the early 50s. He hadn't lived the kind of life that he lived at that point, which affects your voice. So it's a legendary group of recordings. There's no question about
it. I see why, man. That's a special album. Both of these albums that I listened to this week were very special albums, man. Both of them just really just had a big impact. I mean, again, I've listened to dozens and dozens of albums over the last few months, and some of them are more impactful than others on each person. It's very personal experience, but these two had a big impact on me.
The one that I'm most looking forward to that you've got to go. Now, I already know, but I'm assuming that... Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys is one that that you have yet to listen to. You haven't listened to that one?
Yep. It's coming up, and we're getting down to the last few now.
Yeah.
So, but Pet Sounds is another one that I can't wait to listen to. It's number 2.
Yeah, it's number 2 because like number 1 on the list is Sgt. Pepper, but I am of the opinion, and I don't know if this is a popular opinion, but I am of the opinion that Pet Sounds is a better record.
Yeah, I've heard that. A lot of people are split on those. And I'm also excited about the White Album. I've heard a lot about the White Album by the Beatles. I've never listened to it. That's next.
That's
so
great, man. Have fun listening to it. I'm sorry about the Bears, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
But the Cubs won, and you got 3 more games. So you can make fun of Jeannie for when the Cubs beat the Brewers all weekend.
Yep, I'll hang my hat on that, man.
Okay.
Thanks, brother.
All right, buddy. I'll see you Monday morning.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. The great Vic Vaughn, everybody, taking the morning off, but joining us for Vic's Picks, and he'll do it again next week, 3:30 in the morning. On next Friday, we'll get another round of Vic's Picks. Always a lot of fun to get into Vic's head and find out what he likes and what he's listening to. Okay, we will return with the news after this.
You big dummy, see what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on a Friday morning. I believe I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. Oof. Yeah. What? I don't have to sneeze the whole time that I'm not on. The mic is off. No sneeze. Turn the mic on. My brain goes, time to sneeze. Hi. Nick DiGilio here, and it's Friday morning. Hope everybody has a good Friday morning here. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Friday morning drive. And our Friday regular features have begun. We had Vic's Picks, and right now it's time for...
You Big Dummy!
This is where we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then Tom votes and I vote. And then the first person through who's listening at 312-981-7200 will be our third vote for the dummy of the week. All right, let's start. Dummy number one. A woman returned home from college to surprise her mother and ended up shot in the arm. Officers were called to Ohio Avenue in Girard at about 9 p.m. on Friday for the shooting. Police said the homeowner was in her bedroom when she became frightened by a commotion inside the house. Then a person came running into the room, so she fired one round from her revolver. She quickly realized that she shot her 18-year-old daughter. The daughter's friend told police they had just arrived from college to surprise her mother. He said he had heard a single gunshot and screaming and then went inside to help. The victim suffered a gunshot wound to her elbow and was taken to St. Elizabeth Youngstown Hospital for treatment. And she will be fine.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number 2.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. A price mistake at a Wisconsin gas station had customers flocking to the pumps. There were so many people at the business after hours, police were called to check things out. What police found was was gasoline for only 28 cents a gallon. According to police, a clerk put in the wrong price before they closed for the night at around 9 p.m. Oh, my God. The price of mid-grade was supposed to cost around $2.89 per gallon, but somehow it only cost people 28 cents per gallon to fill up. Word spread fast. By the time the police got there, a couple of hours later, at least 100 people had taken advantage of the cheap gas, all filling up their gas tanks for less than $5. The gas station lost out on $3,500. According to the Department of Energy, gas has not been 28 cents since the 1950s.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
$0.28 a gallon. You think the clerk was fired? You have any? Do you think maybe the nighttime guy, the poor nighttime clerk guy, was fired?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna say that's a definite yes. $3,500. That's a lot.
I'm not surprised that the place was packed with people. I mean, how can you? I mean, if somebody goes, wait a minute, does that say you do like a Milton Berle double take on that? It's 28 cents a gallon. Man, oh man. And in this day and age, someone sees 28 cents a gallon, he's on social media or calling his friends with his cell phone going, dude, you got to get to the Exco or whatever the gas station company was.
Yeah.
28 cents a gallon. What?
Since the 1950s. I wonder if the guy decided to put on a little uniform and go, you know.
Come out, do an oil change.
Yeah.
I'll check your fluids.
How are you doing there, sir?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
What was that? What is that?
I don't know. a gas station attendant?
Is that old-timey gas station attendant?
Yes, sir. I'll get you gas here now. I'll get you gas.
Oh my God. All right, let's move on. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Three dummies. Dummy number three. A Welsh driver was ordered to pay a fine after he was caught video transporting a disabled car by balancing on the roof of another car. Glender Wynne Richards, 51, pled guilty in Magistrates Court, to using a vehicle with a load likely to cause danger or injury after he was caught on video driving his Volkswagen Passat with a Skoda Octavia, and that was strapped to his roof. Richard had been driving through an industrial estate in Wales, and according to the court, he transported the car less than 1,000 feet. He admitted that the stunt was, quote, a stupid thing to do, unquote. Richards was given three penalty points on his driver's free penalty points and ordered to pay approximately $97 a fine and $140 in court costs.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
All right. Let's break here for some weather and a few commercials, and we'll come back. We got two more dummies to read about, and then we vote on who is the dummy of the week. Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. It's Friday. So that means all the regular Friday features are coming up. Or we're in the middle of them, actually. So let's get back to it. You big dummy. Continues. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Four! An investigation has been launched following the discovery of a photograph which appears to show two people vandalizing a sandstorm formation which is more than 400 million years old at a state park in Illinois. Pictures posted on social media show a man and a woman stood in front of the Council Overhang Cavern in Starved Rock Park. Was in Starved Rock?
Yep.
Over Labor Day holiday, the pair stood next to a black B plus K with a love heart which had been scrawled into the ancient rocks. The image was posted onto Facebook by Starved Rock in help of finding the culprits. Art is beautiful. It's not meant to be carved down or painted on natural features at a state or national park, Starved Rock wrote in a statement. Don't be like John and Jane Doe pictured here, who decided to paint on Council Overhang, which is a 425-million-year-old sandstone formation at the park used for 8,000 years as a Native American gathering place. One of our largest problems at the park are visitors who do not respect the park's trails, exhibits, buildings, interactive panels on trails, and the natural sandstone features. Speaking to Journal Star, Park Superintendent Kerry Novak said a witness came to Starved Rock Administration on the offices on September 2nd to report seeing two people deface the wall at Council Overhang, as well as discussing taking a picture of the graffiti and putting it on Instagram. Novak searched the social media platform himself and found the incriminating photo, and they seem pretty proud of it, Novak said. Novak said he considers the vandalism to be very disrespectful. He added, if you bring your family here, you want to see a beautiful natural area, you don't want to see this sort of thing. The Illinois Conservation Police later launched an investigation into the photographs. Police have not yet been able to confirm if the photograph is authentic. The Starved Rock State Parks has since removed the Facebook post showing the vandalism. It's unclear why the post has been removed, and representatives for the parks did not immediately return a request from Newsweek for a comment. If anyone has any information about this act of vandalism on Labor Day, you are urged to call 815-667-4726.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy five. A senior Justice Department official stepped down after investigators caught the official lying about watching porn on government-issued computers, an internal watchdog found. An investigation by the Justice Department Inspector General revealed a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General had used government-issued computers to visit multiple pornographic websites. Investigators didn't name the official in a summary that they released on Thursday. The IG launched its investigation after receiving reports that the official had been seen viewing sexually explicit images on their computer. A subsequent forensic examination found the computer had indeed been used to access numerous pornographic websites and contained multiple sexually explicit images. The summary didn't offer details on the scale and time frame of the searches. Initially, the official lied to investigators while under oath, but they changed their tune after seeing the results of the forensic exam. The Deputy Assistant Attorney General ultimately admitted to the OIG that they may have intentionally accessed pornographic websites during government using only government computers. The official resigned before the inquiry was completed, and investigators decided not to press charges. This isn't the first time that the feds caught this isn't the first Fed to be caught browsing explicit content at the workplace. Last year, investigators found a U.S. Geological Survey employee had inadvertently affected the office's networks with Russian malware after visiting 9,000 different porn sites over a seven-month period. Over the last 15 years, similar scandals have enveloped the Environmental Protection Agency, Securities and Exchange Commissions, and the IRS.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
I'm not kidding you. You're a big dummy.
All righty then. Well, we have to recap here, and then we vote. So after I finish up the recap, we'll open up the phone lines. First person through gets to be the third vote. Tom will vote, I will vote, and then you will vote. 312-981-7200. We have the dummy who accidentally shot her daughter, who was surprising her from college. We got the dummy at the gas station who accidentally began selling at the dummies at the gas station who sold gas for 28 cents a gallon. We have the dummy who strapped a car on top of his car and drove around with it. We have the two dummies, big dummies, idiotic dummies, who scrawled graffiti on an ancient Native American gathering place in Starved Rock. And we have the senior dummy, justice official dummy, who got busted watching porn on a government computer. All right, those are your dummies. 312-981-7200. First person through gets to be our third vote on this edition of You Big Dummy. 312-981-7200. First person through is our third vote. Okay. So we're getting a call right here. Tom's going to get it all set up, and that'll be our third vote. And we never run out of dummies. In fact, dummies increase. Every week, more dummies. The dummies will not, they will not decrease. They will not stay the same. They will increase. So, Tom, what's your thought process on this?
So, as dumb as the guy who was watching porn on his government computer.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to check that.
Yes.
And I'm very upset about those dumb kids doing graffiti on.
That's just, it's infuriating.
It's a natural wonder, yeah, here in our own state, a beautiful park, Starved Rock.
And beautiful. It is beautiful.
It's arrogant. But I got to give it to whatever night attendant decided to make the gas 28 cents.
Yeah.
And sending it back to the 1950s. And I'm not just saying that because of our good friend, the gas attendant from the 1950s from Maine.
Right, exactly. All right. You know, it's a good week. Those idiots, I hope those idiots who were responsible for the graffiti and Starved Rock get busted. I really hope they do.
Yeah.
It's just unforgivable. How do you watch porn on a government computer?
With the internet.
I mean, yeah, with the internet and no brains. I wish there were video of the car strapped on top of the car.
Yeah, a typical Welshman.
Yeah, yeah. mom accidentally shooting the daughter. She's going to be okay, and that makes that story funny.
Yeah.
As long as she's going to be okay. But, you know, I mean, someone's in your house, and you don't expect your daughter. I mean, the daughter was like, you know, I don't know who the dummy is in that situation.
I'm gonna say it's the mom. I guess it's, you know, it's one thing. It's fine. You know, she's got a gun for home invasion.
If she does not know that the daughter is coming home and it's at night and she hears somebody in her house, I don't know.
It's like a lost episode of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She shoots Rory. Rory comes home and Lorelai shoots her.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
All right. I am voting as well. I'm agreeing with you.
Gas station.
Whoever the gas station attendant was who brought the gas price down to 28 cents a gallon. Dummy. It cost the gas station $3,500. So that's the dummy of the week, but we still want to get a vote from our listeners. And here's John. John, who was your vote for?
Well, I was going to vote for the gas station attendant, but since my vote really doesn't count, I'm going to say for the people at Starved Rock.
Ah, the Starved Rock, yes. And we hope they get busted, don't we, John?
Yeah, this is a lot. That's okay. What I got.
All right. All right, John, thanks, buddy. Take care.
Okay.
All right, so the gas is not 28 cents anymore. That's been fixed.
It's a damn shame. I'm driving tomorrow.
I know you are. All right, let's take a break. The news is coming up after this, and then we'll continue with our Friday features right here on WGN. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight. Out of context, context, context. Context. Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
Yeah, that's right. Nick DiGilio back here till 5 o'clock on a Friday morning, and our Friday features are in full force here. By the way, we'll do a little Fly James Friday if you want to request something. It's 312-981-7200. Anything soul or funky or fly. 312-981-7200. But this is Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to the radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom, shall we dive in?
Let's dive in. All right. First one, I don't know if he's ever appeared before. This is Tom Appel, our good friend Tom Appel.
One time before.
Yeah, well, he's back, and this is coming to us from Jesse.
Big sec.
Oh, man. All right.
Next up, coming up is Wendy Snyder here, the queen of Straight Out of Context. This one's coming to us from Scott in Carpentersville.
Nice stones.
Did she say nice stones?
Nice stones.
They were talking about the Atlas Stones as they were discussing the new 2020 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Got it.
Next up is, of course, myself. Great. Yeah. Always happy to be on. This is coming to us from Debbie. You cannot service yourself.
Oh, were we talking about the gas stations?
Yeah.
Wow. That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
That's a very good one, Debbie.
Nice ears, Debbie. Yeah. Nice ears on that one. Very funny. All right.
Next up, this is coming to us from Fox Valley Mike. Here is Steve Cochran and Dean Richards.
Do you do that thing where you just let it melt in your mouth or whatever and it turns into liquid?
I squish it through my teeth.
God. I don't even know.
It's a Jell-O. I'm talking about Jell-O.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Next is, we got a couple here from Rokan. Yeah. This first one's from Wild Bill.
They're always a little imprecise about his size.
Yeah, the vocal performance is what makes
it. Yeah, that's the case frequently with Ro.
He's a very dynamic person.
A dynamic and often loud man. All right.
Next up here is Ro again. This is from Brian.
We do not have enough time to play with this today.
There should always be enough time. You gotta make time.
You gotta make time. You can't service yourself. All right.
Good thing she just walked into traffic.
Oh, is the next one going to be Mary?
Yes, this one's the lovely Mary Vandeveld, caught again by Brian.
It was tight. It looked pretty tight down there.
Oh, my God. Mary, what?
I have no clue.
Was it the traffic?
No. I don't know. No.
Oh, no. Oh, Tom knows the context. What is it?
So, it's kind of dark, but you guys were talking about the fire on that boat in California, and you were describing what it's like on the inside of the boat.
I was talking about the yacht Lyle Dean at the time.
Oh, the yacht. You were talking about Lyle's yacht.
Well, we used to go on the yacht, Lyle Dean, talking about the quarters underneath.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
in
okay.
relationship to that fire. So.
Okay. All right. Well, our listeners are too filthy to be taking anything seriously.
I gotta shut my mouth.
Don't do that. Thanks, Mayor.
All right. Next one. It's you.
Me?
You gotta follow it up.
I didn't do anything.
That's what they all say. Hello. This is Tom from Bartlett.
Always going to the back door. Oh, man. What was I talking about?
You were talking about a bar.
Oh. Of course I was, because I spent so many years going to them.
I think it might have been surrounding some honeybee complex conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's when I got sprayed by the skunk.
Yeah.
I was coming home from the North Woods over there on Cumberland near Foster. I was drunk coming home from the North Woods, got sprayed by a skunk. It was a fun night.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Of course I was talking about a bar.
in the honeybee complex.
I have not had a drink in 4 years, and yet we could pull 85,000 stories about me and booze and bars.
Stories are stories.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right. Next up, this is the lovely G. Suk Yi on the Steve Cochran show. Showing up. I think this has been like 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. No. She's you know, since she started on Steve's show, she's made a very strong impression on our listeners with Straight Out of Context.
Yeah, these rookie numbers are pretty good.
They're very good.
We'll see in the draft next year how she looks. But this one's sent to us by Dirty Dave.
It's the only time you're going to get it.
Oh, man. Oh. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. A little bit of a celebrity one here. A couple of celebrity ones coming up. Here's Richard Roper, also caught by Tom from Bartlett.
You might find yourself in the wrong position.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
You don't want to be in the wrong position.
No, you don't.
All right. And, of course, it wouldn't be Bear season without OB getting caught here.
Outstanding. All right.
We still don't have a tight end.
Got to have that tight end. That's coming to us from Jesse.
Of course. Okay.
All right. Next, here's Anna and Roe.
How long is it?
Seriously. 3 feet long.
3 feet.
That's it.
That's just not true.
Talking about a meatball sandwich.
A 3 foot meatball sandwich?
I think it's Bartolini's.
Oh, yeah, Bartolini's.
They do the bit.
They brought the food in for OB and Hamp and Kaz.
Yeah,
last night.
And they do this massive, I think it's a meatball sub challenge.
By the way, there was leftover food when we got here last night, and I had some of the sausage and the meatball. Outstanding.
Pristine. I tried a little bit of the cannoli.
Outstanding.
Great.
Yes. Okay, what's next?
All right. Next up, we've got Wendy Snyder. This is coming to us from Maria.
Like, stick it in that little area. That's where.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is she... Do you know what she's talking about?
I believe she was talking about, like, taking tickets and putting them in the little gap in a mirror. You know how in a mirror you can kind of... Around the border.
Oh,
of a mirror.
Yeah.
You put like some memorabilia and stuff
like
concert
picture,
tickets.
Okay.
That all sort right. of thing.
I got it.
And then finally, here is Anna DeVlantes, of course, coming to us from Barbara.
Did you use the freight elevator to get it up?
Wow.
You need a freight elevator for it, man.
You might want to try a pill instead of the freight elevator. I think it would be less painful to just have a pill than use the freight elevator. Oh boy,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Oh man, all right. I don't know. I'd stay away from the freight elevator. That doesn't sound all right. Well, there you go. Another round of Straight Out of Context. Keep it going. And now we've got this.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody. Spies. Spies. Spies.
Like us.
Ah, yes. Yes. Another edition of Nick D Show Spies. Once again, this is when you listen to this radio station, as you should, 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay.
All right. So first one here, this is Dean Richards giving you a little mention here, and this is coming to us from Tim.
And I'm going to throw the blame for that on the director of this movie, who is Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. I think in the hands of a better director.
Oh, I thought it was from I Love Lucy. I thought
it was Fred.
I heard he was directing.
Fred Mertz.
How does Fred Durst call John Travolta with a bad script and go, let's do this?
I don't know how anybody agrees to this.
Bizarre.
It's just all over the place, I'm afraid. I gave it a D-.
Ooh.
Very disappointed in it. On the other hand...
That was good.
I love a good reaction.
That was good.
That's for Nick. I love a good reaction. I love one like that.
Thank you, Dean. That movie made $400 total.
$400.
Let that sink in. A movie with John Travolta made $400 at the box office.
Look Who's Talking To.
Made $80 billion. Yeah. All right. He's had a, you know, I mean, he's had a rough go of it the past few years. I mean, he keeps making crappy movies because that Gotti movie was ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And that, again, was a massive bomb. But, yeah.
Just offensive.
So bad. So, so bad. Okay.
All right. Here's another one from Dean. He's
What's
talking
going
about
on?
Oh, your ears must be burning. You know?
I guess.
He must be talking about you. This one's coming to us from Brian.
Next year, I'm going to set up a booth at Taste of Polonia.
Oh, okay.
And favor people with my polka stylings.
With your organ. That would be...
Excuse me?
With your, you know, your keyboard. Your what? Keyboard.
What's everybody working blue for today?
Uh-huh. Wow. I've been good since the beginning of the show.
No, I have been.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, okay, before we go any further...
Wow.
Before we go any further...
Can somebody just write the time down of when you're going to hear that on Nick DiGiulio? Out of context theater, whatever
Andy,
he calls it.
Andy?
Out of context theater?
Yeah. That's the, that's the more Shakespearean version.
Or Dean so dismissive, or whatever he calls it.
That nonsense.
Out of context theater.
And now, Masterpiece Theater presents Straight Out of Context.
That's right. Oh, man. Okay.
All right. And then finally, this is coming to us from Wild Bill. You know, it's Dave Ennett, technically, but it also involves Dean.
Okay.
And just the whole morning crew in, at large. So here we go.
Well, there was this thing this morning that Nick, during his Straight Out of Context, had a clip of Dean and me talking about the Grill Daddy. And Mary jumped in and sort of like dissed our affection for the Grill Daddy.
I didn't diss it.
Yeah,
I just
you
said
did.
You guys talk about it a lot.
Because it's great.
Fantastic.
Here you go again.
Oh, it's because I didn't know what it was.
It's the greatest invention, even greater than the telephone.
Yes.
I believe Dean ranks it Cure for Polio, Grill Daddy.
Yes. And Nick wasn't sure what it was.
And
so.
And it was the Dean's comment that you don't need lubricant.
Yes, it made your the out of context.
Yeah, that just made out of context. Yeah.
I do it stuff on purpose just to try to get on.
You're on a lot, Dean.
It's a big show. Yeah. No, it's a big show.
I purposely pepper the conversation with stuff, hoping to get on the segment.
Yeah, well, three times this morning, Dean.
That's a hat trick.
That's a hat trick. Now, what you guys, Dave is in now and Mary's been here. So, Dave, the grill daddy?
The Grill Daddy.
Yeah.
Greatest invention of modern times.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Now, Mary, you get to hear that, what, three, 4 hours during the show?
All during grilling season. I hear at least once a week.
Well, you got a long way to go because Labor Day. Well, no, you don't. Now it's almost over.
No, we
tailgate. Grill all year.
We have tailgating. So
oh, you grill all year.
Grill all year.
Yep. Can you grill all year just because you own a Grill Daddy? If you don't, you can't grill?
No, I think you could still grill, but certainly it makes life easier.
How many Grill Daddies do you own, Dave?
Oh, I only have one at any given time.
Well, you've probably been through quite a few.
When it wears out, you go out and get a new one.
And I'm sorry. You just said when it wears out, you go out and get a new one.
Yes.
Let's mark that down for next week, shall we?
Okay.
There you go, Dave.
Very good. So the other, and John DeCoste, you heard his voice there. He's also a Grill Daddy advocate.
Mary, are you just dead set against the Grill Daddy? What's?
I don't know. I guess I should join the club and get one for my husband, right?
Yeah. It would make the perfect Father's Day gift, Mayor.
Oh. Well, Father's Day's a very long time away.
Well, okay, then.
Christmas.
Wait.
All right. Well, you don't need lubricant. That's all we know.
No, that's true.
That's what we've learned.
Hey, you just made next week show yourself.
I made my own. I was on this morning. I made my own.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah,
whenever anyone says the word lubricant, you know.
And here's one of the key words that you can't say on this radio station anymore because of this segment, and it's package.
Oh, yeah, correct. Definitely.
Yeah, that one pops up. Even if you're just talking about UPS, you can't say it.
Or inches.
You can't say inches either. Right, but by the way, this entire conversation will be repeated next week at this time. So, all right, guys, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the great Dave and the great Mary, and they'll be on the great Steve Cochran show.
I'm not going to say thank you.
All right, Mayor. Let's take a break. We got weather, and we come back. We'll do some funky stuff on Fly Jams Friday. Luscious Hushes will be here.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly Jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
The original Fly Jam right there, the late, great Johnny Kemp just got paid. That's our Fly Jam Friday theme. It's Fly Jams Friday. Is Luscious Hushes here?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
Luscious Hushes is here. Wiki Wiki Nikki is here. Viggity Viggity Vic, verified double V's at home running around like a lunatic. But we've got some requests.
Absolutely.
We've got the requests coming up, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Jordan Bernfield in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, man, let's get funky.
Let's kick it off with a little Back to Life by Soul to Soul. Here we go. This is coming to us from the 773.
I love that song.
Is that 90s?
80s.
80s. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Or late 80s.
Late 80s.
But still 80s.
You hear some of that, some of the stuff that'd be going on in the decade.
I want to say it was 88, 89.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Soul to Soul.
Mm.
Yeah. It's the Roman numeral two. Soul to Soul.
And there's nothing funkier than Roman numerals.
Nothing. Oh, I'm looking. Dean's about to give his grade for It Chapter Two. They're showing Pennywise, the creepy old lady, and Bill Hader running around. So we'll see what he gives it. I'll let you know after he puts up his grade here. So all right, what's next?
Next up, coming to us from our good pal Dino, it's Rigor Mortis by Cameo from the album Cardiac Arrest.
Right. So that was Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cameo. Very cool. So Fly Jams Friday. By the way, Dean gave It Chapter 2 a D.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was unexpected.
I don't know, man. Because I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And my excitement for it continues to decrease because there hasn't been a review that hasn't been better than kind of okay.
Well, let's think of all the movies that other people slept on and didn't like, but that you loved.
Well, Godzilla is one of them.
Yeah.
From this year that everybody didn't like and I thought was great.
I recently rewatched it. That movie is excellent.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Okay, let's continue to be funky for a couple of more minutes.
All right, next up, coming up, this is from our good pal Lulu. She's dedicating this one to you because you are the overnight dude. It is, of course, Quincy Jones, the dude.
Ooh.
That's the
dude. It's the dude.
All right. Time for one more before we get out of here and come back on Monday. What do we got?
All right. This is a more modern pick. This is coming to us from Amy, and it's called Disco Ulysses by the band Wolfpack.
Oh.
So let's check this. I'll see what's going on here.
Good. Is it instrumental all the way through?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Very cool. All right. Thank you, Luscious Hushes.
You're very welcome.
All right, and we will see you next Friday, and we will see all of you on Monday, and we'll have all the reviews, including it, Chapter 2, and my dad will call in and tell a joke, and that's what's coming up on Monday, and much more during the course of the week. Stay in touch with us on our Facebook page as well. Like us right now and check out our podcasts, and that's a great way to stay connected.